welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yes, indeed, indeed. 866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Danny Bonaducci.
Good morning, Adam Carolla. And good morning to you, fine Brian.
Brian and I had a romantic weekend in Fresno.
How was that?
Well, the people there were fine. I've realized I have a fundamental problem when it comes to doing things.
You could have just stopped a long time ago. You could have said, you know, I found I have a fundamental problem. I mean, I'll just have gone, yeah.
Everything, the reason I don't like doing things is because they're something. And I don't like doing things unless they have to do with cars or houses or movies I want to see that no one else wants to see. As I had somebody announce out loud, who the hell is going to see Redline anyway? And I said, moi.
Did you see it over the weekend?
No, I couldn't find anyone stupid enough to see it with me. But eventually I'll drag one of my stoner friends in there and we will see that, Brian. Yeah. The point is we went, Brian and I, to me, and you guys can weigh in and tell me if I'm not. If this is right or isn't right or what have you. I love to get out of wherever I am and go home. Right. Anything that has to do with work means I want to go home. I want to go home badly. I remember, now, not everyone is that way. I mean, when I used to do the man show, it'd be me, Jimmy, our third partner, Daniel, and we'd all be sitting in the office. And Daniel would always announce about 6:37 at night, hey, man, I'm going to order sushi. What do you want? And I went, well, if we finish up here in about half an hour, I can get the F out of here. And he'd go, well, but I'm ordering. And I'd be like, don't you want to go home? Doesn't everyone want to go home? Evidently, no. Everyone doesn't want to go home. Now, look, if you have a horrible apartment and a worse wife, then I understand it. But once your home gets better than your away, you want to play all your games on your home field.
Right. So, that's the goal.
All I want to do every Friday is get the hell out of here and get the hell to wherever. My weekend begins the second my ass hits the car seat. That's how it works on Friday. But
my least favorite words are, sure, I'll have coffee.
Yes.
Hey, what would you, why?
We want to get out. We want to just keep moving. And maybe it's just, maybe I'm like the world's laziest shark. I just want to keep swimming forward, even if it's in a circle.
Right.
I just thought of a lazy shark.
I need water going through. Write that down. Kids book right there. Right there with
the
my Samoan guy with the skinny calves. And then Robin, the lazy shark. So I just swim in a circle, but I want to start swimming. Well, Brian and I headed out to the open sea known as LAX. And then there was this thing, too, where it's Friday the 13th. I'm not the world's most nervous flyer, but this is a prop plane must be taken to Fresno.
Yeah.
In this modern day, there's nothing with an impeller on it that goes to Fresno. It's all prop planes at LAX.
I think we dusted some crops on the way.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure you did.
So, yeah, they had to take Brian's drink away from him before we took off because we were overweight.
Oh, no.
It gets to be that.
But it's like 30 people stuffed. And, by the way, you think, oh, these small planes, oh, there's just 30 seats. Well, 30 miniature seats. 30 shot glass size seats. They're not it's not your coach seat in a 30 seat. They could fit 9 of those in this plane. So you're stuffed in there.
One of the few times it's good to be me and not him.
Right. Cause basically Adam,
you're in a shot glass and vice versa.
Right. You're just waiting to get an embolism.
That's when I had to get up and start walking around about minute 31 of our 45-minute flight.
Adam's a tall drink of water, and he was sprawling.
I went to the back of the plane. I sprawled. Well, we had a couple of cocktails over at LAX before we headed out, which makes the pain go away. Now, don't get me wrong. The people in Fresno were great. Everyone who from the radio station, everyone was great. I just never want to go anywhere. That's my mode. And then my other mode is, and I don't know if you guys are this way or not, but my mode is always, what is the earliest flight out of wherever I am so I can get home and start my weekend? And everyone says, well, why do you want to get up Saturday at 5:30 and fly out? Because I don't want to sleep in a hotel in Fresno and come home and start my weekend at 2 in the afternoon.
Right.
in Los Angeles. I just want to wake up. It'll be like a bad dream. And again, not because anyone was bad, just because it involved me leaving for somewhere after work.
It's kind of like a very nice town full of people moved to Fresno. Because it's a completely separate thing. Fresno as a physical body is questionable. Fresnoians are super nice.
Yeah, and they have low self-esteem, like a lot of small towns. They thank you. They want to know how much you hate it and all that kind of stuff.
What are you doing here?
What are you doing here?
Because here, I'm like nobody. In Fresno, it's like, dude, you're that guy. I love Fresno.
All very, very relative. But here's the, and they were warm, and they all came out in big numbers, and everything was great. But now, here's the question that I wrestle with, and we've talked about it before, which is, on most of the things you do that involve these types of activities as a celebrity, it's a double-edged sword. Yes, it's a bunch of travel. Yes, it cuts in your sleep. Yes, it cuts in your schedule. But the reward part is you then get to go to an event where there's 300 people, and they're all screaming your name and patting you on the back. Now, for me, there's no upside because I don't care about that part. I don't not appreciate it. I just can't feel it. I know I've spoken about this before. It doesn't feel like anything to me. It feels like, well, you're on the radio. They've heard you speak on the radio.
Right.
Thus, if Ryan Seacrest came in here, there'd be 500 people instead of 300 people or whatever. This is what happens when you're on the radio. They announce you're going to be somewhere a couple weeks in advance. They say it 100 times and 300
hopefully,
people.
Yeah.
Hopefully 300 people show up and they say hi and they cheer and they used to take pictures and you sign stuff. But for me, it doesn't feel like anything.
Right.
It's just people go, yeah, but after a long day of travel, it must feel good to have a guy want you to sign an autograph or to tell you're his hero or blah, blah, blah. And I think it's nice, but not nearly nice enough to offset whatever the hassle was. And as a matter of fact, I can't feel it. I can't feel it.
I can't feel it. It's an interesting way, and I get that completely. I don't know if everybody get what that means.
Yeah.
Being out in public, being even a center of attention, and it's a good time to be had by all, but you don't feel it.
I think in a way it's healthy. Like when we were in Vegas, there was a moment where there was a bunch of people after our show, and it felt good in the moment, like a lot of people saying, oh, I love you and I want to take my picture with you. And then I got in my hotel room and I thought, what an empty feeling, because now I'm all alone and those were kind of strangers. They don't really know me.
Did you feel it though? Did it feel good at the time?
I think I'm more like you. I think I thought this should feel good, but really these are strangers.
I want them to all lay down and let me roll all around them and kiss them and lick them and tell them thank
so
you
you're
for
able
getting me
to,
out of the gutter.
You're able to feel the... I felt gratitude that they were there, for sure.
I know what you're both saying, and it's not an insult to anyone. It's just that it's kind of the gig, and you don't really feel like the social event. For me, they literally are the guys that dragged me out of a real gutter, not a fake gutter, well, an alley, behind Grauman's Chinese. I want to go and polish their shoes and then drink out of them and party like it's 1999. Unfortunately, they want me to. They really want to meet that Danny. They think that'd be great.
Not a knock on Fresno, but it's hard to drink out of a flip-flop, right, Brian?
Well, I think for
me,
it's a stark juxtaposition between that kind of love of strangers and then the lack thereof in my regular life. But I think probably for you, because you love your babies, you love the bejesus out of them, and that's something
real.
Talking
about my cars.
Your cars.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Your baby twins. And that probably feels so much more. You're able to feel that connection.
I am uncomfortable with responsibility. My greatest fear is to have someone looking for me. Where's Adam?
Right.
Why isn't he here? I thought he was going to be here. So when you put me in a bar with 300 people that all want to take a picture, get an autograph, that's 300 people whose focus is on me.
Yeah.
Right.
Makes me horribly uncomfortable. I want to go into a bar where I only know one other person. Hopefully it's a hot chick and we're getting loaded, or it's a good buddy and we're going to have a few pops. The $299 looking for me makes me uncomfortable. Now, the deal is I have so many reps doing this stuff. I've done it so many times. I don't get into cold sweats. I don't have panic attacks.
Right.
I'm not uncomfortable. It's just there's no plus side in it for me. And most of the time, most performers, it fills a void in them. There's two types of things in life. There are the things that feel good, or and there's the things that just you want to do because they're fun. You want to see a movie. You want to go on vacation. You want to go out to dinner. Then
whatever
and then,
the other one is, that's me.
Yeah. The other thing. The other thing is, it makes you whole. I mean, yeah. You need it. You don't do heroin because it makes you happy. You do heroin because you need to do heroin.
In this case, though, because I am that guy, but both. Like, here's the way Adam and I are different, 1,000 different ways. Because I think Adam and I are, like, in some ways. I really do. I think we're very similar. But where Adam goes in, and I don't mean to speak of you in third person. Adam wonders why he is the center of attention and doesn't understand it and doesn't get why everybody wants to pay so much attention to him. I don't completely understand it either. So then I do something outlandish so I can deserve, whether they like it or not, I either take off all my clothes and stand there and drink naked or start a fire. But there's a reason. If you're going to focus on me and I haven't done anything to earn my dollar yet, that you use me, I'm naked and drinking.
You want to fix the cognitive dissonance. Like, it doesn't make sense in your mind why you're the center.
No, I want to drink and roll around with people that listen to us on the radio.
He's a great writer, by the way. see, I guess if I could articulate it, it works like this. I understand everyone is here. I understand that's what happens when guys have morning shows and they say you're going to be somewhere. So I feel sort of disconnected with it. And then I feel there's a responsibility. It's the same reason I don't drive the convertible. I just tint my windows and drive around. I'm not freaked out by people. I shook 1 million sweaty hands and took 1,000 pictures with my arm around 1,000 people.
Yeah, because some of them are posted on my MySpace page already.
No problem at all. I just wish I could get a bigger charge out of the rush that I should feel when 300 people are cheering my name. And then that would offset the hassle of the travel. If you would have asked me Friday when the show ended if I wanted to go to Fresno, answer no. And I don't care if there's 1 million people who want to heap praise on me. I'd rather just hustle home or go to my next project or whatever it is. And again, that's my problem. It's not Fresno's problem. Fresno was great. The other last little thing I wanted to add on to that is I talk about all the time. When I travel, I notice that security varies from airport to airport. And it's one of these things where I understand states' rights. I understand a sort of, well, they do it this way in Mississippi and we do it this way in California. And frankly, that's the way we like it. And then I also understand the federal government going, look, 0.08 is the legal limit for booze.
Right.
18 is the age for being drafted. 21 is the legal age for drinking and so on and so forth. I understand there's certain things that should be universal. Every state shouldn't be able to calibrate their own speedometer on their own car. It's not a good idea.
They should be able to set their own speed limit.
They should be able to set when you're traveling through their state.
Montana during the daytime's got itself a little autobahn.
I like that. I love that, except I feel like the airport should all be regulated. And the reason the airports need to be regulated is because you may leave California and then you are in Nevada 45 minutes later, and if their airport has a different set of rules than the one you just left, then you're screwed up. And so I've always said, you're leaving LAX, you're taking your shoes off and you're flying into Arizona, and then when you're coming back from Arizona, it's like, nah, leave the shoes on. And I always thought, really? And how much confidence do you think this instills in a very nervous flying public? Well, I always ask this question. I never get an answer except, well, that's just the way they do it in Arizona. We don't have a federal guideline for whether the shoes come off or not just across the board in all these United States. We should sort of let them catch as catch can, see how the wind is blowing over in Arizona. When I flew out of here, I was nervous. I was like, I took a can of shaving cream that seemed like it was more than 3 ounces, but I can't figure out the little baggy thing.
Right.
I'm not sure. I have to bag. So then I fly out, Brian and I fly out of LAX on Friday about 1 o'clock, no problemo. But then going through the Fresno airport, the very small Fresno airport at 5:30 in the morning on Saturday, go through, pull the backpack aside, step aside, undo the backpack, open up the toiletry kit, and, sir, do you have a Ziploc bag? No, I don't. Okay, would you like to purchase one back at the, you know, the student union for a dollar? Of course, where you purchased a bag is 200 yards from where you're right. standing in your socks.
And back through security.
Yeah. Right, right. No. By the way, how much would it set you back to have some Ziploc bags sitting next to the X-ray, whatever? What do you get?
I'll chip in.
You get 500 of those for $5? Like, well, what's it going to set the airport back? I understand you don't want to be doing transactions with cash and stuff, but I'll give you $20 if you just hand me the Ziploc
yes.
bag.
At that
your
point,
right.
it's worth a lot,
right.
too.
No.
You just buy one for $20 from the old lady next to you. She'll
right.
part with hers. I've done that.
Yeah.
Listen, mister, I know you're the first guy in line, but I got $100 as I'm going to hurry.
You don't want to miss your flight. You're in your socks. You have no idea. They're pointing a direction. They're pointing south. You have no idea. There's no, you can't see a thing that says man from Glad garbage bag store at the end of the, right. next to the Cinnabon. So I say, no, I thought she was going to chuck my big shaving cream because it was three. She proceeds to take my toiletry kit, you know, pull out the toothbrush and then empty the thing into the garbage can. All the little, you know, little Oxy 10 and some lip stuff and a little shave cream and whatever's in there. She just empties it into the garbage and says, well, there you go. And I was like, you know, people are holding you behind you in line. And God forbid you say anything to these people because they're amongst the dumbest people on the planet, the people that work all security. I'm not singling out right. airport security. The dumbest guy on any building staff will be the security or the guy working the parking lot gate thing. Anyone that has to do with parking or security are the dumbest people on the planet. As a matter of fact,
I'm sorry.
Any school teachers right now? You got some ninth graders and you got one that's semi-retarded. Give him a gun and a badge and just send him to the airport.
What I was going to say is the criteria, because there is a set of rules, but they're not many. One is, if you couldn't get a job at the post office, you're now security at the airport.
Yes.
That's pretty much, it's the law.
Right. Well, they are the law, and she capsized my toiletry bag into her trash can and then handed, you know, the bag and zipped the thing up and said, yeah, go ahead and take off. And then I walked 100 feet and I got on an airplane. And I was trying to ask, what good is it doing? I went through the security. If I put this in a... If you gave me a Ziploc bag and I put the chapstick and the zit cream in it and then I put it back in the toiletry bag and then I got on my twin prop and flew back to L.A. Yes, Brian.
Literally 7 hours later, same airport, same security line, possibly same security guard points to my bag, says, you got any liquids in there? And I'm like, yeah, they're all in a bag. All right, go on through.
Wow.
I say you just say yes.
People don't realize.
Because I have to disintegrate to get on a plane. You know, I dig off my shoes. Now I'm Gary Coleman immediately. It's like, that's a different guy. Then my huge belts with my belt buckles.
Maybe.
Then all my pirate jewelry.
Maybe.
I turn into a different human being.
Maybe the Ziploc bag contains the blast.
Right.
It's like, I don't want to bore you guys. We got to go to break. But there's something called a blower bag. In the world of drag racing.
Wow.
It's a Kevlar bag they put around the supercharger because those things blow up. And when they blow up, shrapnel goes flying into the driver and in the crowd. And they used to have something called a blower bag. And maybe it's that. I don't know why they have to capsize people's toiletry bag into the garbage, but I just thought, Al-Qaeda, you have officially won.
Yeah.
I'm standing in Fresno in my socks. It's 6:15 in the morning, and a chick that makes $8 an hour has now capsized my monogram bag into the garbage, cleaning it out of everything that's in there. And then I also thought, what a windfall for anyone who makes chapstick or Tic Tacs or anything. Wouldn't it be great if half your product could be thrown away by stupid people every year?
It's supremely arbitrary. I just hope that Brian allowed you to borrow some of his hair gel.
It used to be the best thing to make was make a product that you can make for a nickel, sell for a dollar, and it's addicting. That used to be the business. Now it's make something that they throw away at the airport. Because nobody uses, I've never met anybody that held onto a chapstick till it was gone, they lose it.
You
use it once at the airport, they throw it away, and you go right to the other side of the counter. and rebuy it in the store where they resell all the stuff you just threw away.
Yeah, they give you an option of sending the Tic Tacs back to yourself right. or them just yeah. dumping everything into a garbage can. All right, but here's my point.
For God's sake,
LAX,
man.
Last I checked, I don't know where Fresno lands on the terrorist to-do list. It's got to be just after blow up our own city. it's them. It's right. It's blow up the condo we're living in Kabul, and then Fresno. So why Fresno needs to capsize the bag into the trash and LAX doesn't, I'll never know. But please, people, can we get on the same page? It doesn't instill any confidence in the flying public to see that the chicken Fresno is doing her own thing over in security, whereas LAX has a totally different set of criteria to judge. Yes, Brian, good you're going to say one
before
thing.
We move off Fresno, yes. I'm sorry, I did meet a fan of mine who actually wanted to hear her favorite drop in this segment, if I could just play it really quick.
That's so sweet.
Adam's on the phone.
It's been a while. Meth head family.
Best Hummer Bri ever got. Yeah. All right. We need to take a break. When we come back, we'd like to hear from you. 866-901-ADAM. I'm trying to think what we should talk about. Duke Lacrosse. I was watching the poor boys who were prosecuted in the Duke Lacrosse case on 60 Minutes last night. You ever been falsely accused? And of what? Or
believe it or not, worse. I actually have been falsely accused.
I would assume you have. I would also be curious to know if you falsely accused somebody else, because to me, that's worse. I would rather be falsely accused, as long as I didn't do 25 years in prison, than point the finger at someone and realize I was wrong. Yes.
That's what I just want to make it clear. When you said, have you ever been falsely accused, I immediately think the man, that I've been accused of a crime of some kind.
Could be the wife thinking
but
you're cheating.
Yeah. And stuff like, oh my God.
Or vice versa.
Because I've done so many of them, I get accused of doing them when I didn't.
866-901-ADAM will tell you ours, you tell us yours. Next on the Adam Carolla Show.
The Adam Carolla Show is putting two people behind bars at the notorious Alcatraz Island for one full night. Go to AdamCarolla.com and tell us why you should be sentenced. If you're chosen to compete and win, you gain your freedom and $2,500. Accommodations at Alcatraz provided by The Condemned, starring Steve Austin, in theaters April 27th. Now back to Adam, Danny, and Teresa on The Adam Carolla Show.
I was just watching The Rock. The other day, a movie.
Love the
Sean Connery. Embarrassed
to say, I've seen that way too many times. But the thing that's funny about all those action movies is this is the rock music. So they got it. Some rogue Navy SEALs have taken over the Rock, and now they have to go in with Sean Connery, of course, because he.
Come on, buddy, the Marines.
The Marines have taken over the Rock, and now the Navy SEALs have to come in.
They got this balls of green stuff.
They got Sean Connery, right, explosive, deadly gas. So they have to go in there, and Connery's got to lead the way because he's the only man to break out of the Rock, and that was 40 years ago.
But they've kept him in the kids. It's essentially, what's that movie with the guy comes back as a Count of Monte Cristo?
That's what it is.
He's got really long hair, but he knows everything, and, you know, he's the wizard, if you will.
So so they go to break in, and they go into the Rock, which has not served as a prison for like 45 or 50 years. But, of course, as soon as they go in through the bottom, they go in through a storm drain. They come into a room, and there's always some big fan that billows a plume of fire every 10 seconds. You know they go to these abandoned factories, except for there's a big fan that turns with fire that fires through it. Listen, I haven't shut down many prisons, but one of the first things I shut down is the huge fan with the fire thing that kicks through it. That's what I do. Not sure why it was in the prison in the first place. You can suspend my disbelief that. You know, they do that in movies all the time. They go underwater at night and it's pretty well lit.
Right.
Superman
flies as far as, right. I'm concerned, it looks good.
Maybe it's a full moon and Superman is, to me, is fantasy, so I'll go ahead and look the other way. But you're breaking into a prison, except for the problem is there's a huge fan and a big plume. It's actually like five fans and he has to roll through
them. Basically, the deal is you have to time all the blades and the fire to get through this.
The big burst of natural gas that kicks in every 10 seconds.
By the way, about all of this is that never bothered me till now. I never thought of that.
I'm just saying, if you're the city of San Francisco and you get your utility you get your utility bill from the Rock. It's like, what? $2,500 on natural gas every month? The place is shut down.
Can I just say one thing? Because I'm talking about this. To get into the Rock, Sean Connery has to go under the flaming thing and then open the door to let them in.
Under
he
bill?
Escaped. Why does he open the door from the other side with no problem?
I have no idea.
Opens the door and lets them into the Rock.
He's been in jail a long time. He wants to crawl under the flaming thing.
Well, the point is if you want to go to Frisco and see the flaming thing, you can go stay in Alcatraz. All right, we're talking about wrongfully accused. Steve?
Hey, Adam, how are you?
What's happening, my brother? Calling from Las Vegas. Yes, based on those poor souls at the Duke Lacrosse. On the Duke Lacrosse story last night on 60 Minutes.
Why have I been all about that?
What have you been falsely accused of?
Domestic violence. Mm. It's a horrible, horrible epidemic in this country, especially in Vegas. It happens.
You mean false accusations?
Yeah, well, because what happened was I was accused of pushing my wife. Never mm-hmm. touched her, never did anything. Mm-hmm. The cops come. She tells her story, makes my 12-year-old daughter lie that she did see it also. That concurred with her story, so they arrested me. Mm-hmm. Then you get a protection order where you can't go back to your house.
Right. Because they have to, this is not their fault, really. Yeah. They have to assume she's telling the truth because they have to err on the side of safety.
Yeah.
It's a drag, believe me, I know.
I got to say, I have a building inspector come to my house and tell me I have to install like a breather in my washing machine, and I almost have a Ruby Ridge type situation. I couldn't imagine being Steve over here from Vegas who's accused of domestic abuse or one of these Duke Lacrosse people. I would go insane. And as a matter of fact, you would know I was innocent because I would have a press conference and I would do my crazy man dance and go, I'm out of my mind. Where's the sanity? Somebody please get me a lie detector test and I will take it right here and right. And when I was done talking for 15 minutes, you would go, oh. That guy definitely did not do that.
Well, they might also go, Adam Curl is so smart that they know they won't allow his evidence of a lie detector test. It's a bad thing to be accused of. He's got a rough one here. Since I've been, my wife filed for divorce, and people, like, some people don't believe we're as friendly as we are.
Yeah.
They say, what's she taking you for, man? Is she going to say you abuse the kids and not let me see you? You know, like that's casual. Like, people do it every day. Is she going to accuse you of hitting your kids?
Well, Steve, how did it resolve itself, or has it?
Well, I went to trial in Henderson, and they testified. My wife said she had scratches and everything, and my daughter said she had scratches and bleeding, and the cops said there were no visible marks, yet the guy still convicted me because he is an appointed judge for the head of the domestic violence boards or whatever there.
Steve,
you're screwed.
Now
you have
no
chance.
You're divorced.
I'm in the process of doing that. It's taken me almost a year to even see my kids again.
I would guess that your ex-wife was abused or her dad beat her up.
Yes. As a youngster.
What a shocker.
What
a shocker.
Before
I can't believe
incident,
she's recreated. Yeah. What's that?
Before this incident, though, were there signs, Steve, that maybe she wasn't altogether sane?
Well, yeah, and you see the things, but it's like you don't want to believe that she'd ever take these steps. And then that same week, she tried to say, I sexually abused my kids, and that didn't work, so then the domestic violence came on.
Well, look, here's the thing. Thank you, Steve. I'm going to try to be careful how I describe this, but when people are victims of abuse, especially women, because they recreate it, whereas men, we just go out and beat up other people, which is sort of different, and we don't beat up our spouses quite as much. But here's what I'm trying to say. When somebody was raped, I would really caution you about having casual sex with that person because it may go down in their head on the drive home as rape when you thought it was consensual. Right. And when you marry somebody who was physically abused for a long time, eventually she will point a finger and say you're physically abusing her. Now, sometimes you don't do anything.
Right.
And then other times, she attempts to attack you. You restrain her,
and she
says it's physical abuse. And when she's talking to the judge, just like the nutty broad from the Duke Lacrosse thing, I think she thinks she was abused.
Yes, she is obviously mentally ill and has a history of mental illness. I just feel bad for people who were legitimately attacked and now are going to have more trouble pressing charges.
I do too, but in my estimation, unfortunately, I go with the numbers. And in my estimation, especially at sexual harassment at the workplace, there are far more false accusations than true accusations.
Well, John, oh my God.
I believe that to be true. And by the way, let me just tell you two quick things. One, when you're about to have consensual sex, make sure you're both consenting. Don't just go, well, I'm consenting, so it's consensual.
That's got to be bilateral.
I feel like I have enough consent for my partner.
For both of us?
For the two of us. I want this enough for both of us.
This was awful, but luckily I pulled up at the same time. My ex-wife, I married this Japanese girl, and my ex-wife called the police and said, my husband is beating me. Please help me. And she's screaming. And there's a 911 tape of it. And I pull up at the same time they do, and they start to, like, they're going to arrest me, but we live in a boat, and you can see her on the back of the boat, and she's beating herself with a stick, screaming, do you see what you do to me? Do you see what you do to me? And we just sat there and watched her.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the craziest person I ever knew, Setsuko, by the way.
Jim, by the way, was, well, let's let Jim tell us his story. Jim?
Yeah, Adam?
Sacramento, what's up, my brother?
How you doing, Ace Man? Hey,
good.
Danny, my wife and I watched your special on TV Guide. We're both pulling for you, buddy.
Oh, hey, was that on already?
It was on Saturday, yeah.
How'd it come off?
Well, put it this way. We were all fans of Damashek.
Yeah?
Now we're fans of you in a big way.
How's my wife come off on that? Because I didn't want to watch.
She didn't even talk about her.
What was the story?
I've got two of them. This is a half-hour one, and another one's an hour special on me for no apparent reason.
This was the hour one that we watched, and,
They don't mention my wife?
Well, they showed her picture, and she didn't even talk about it about you much at all. It was just mostly about you and your history in the Partridge Family and, you know, what you're going to do moving forward and your new gig with
the Hold on, the new sports guy was in the Partridge Family? What the hell? Jack Silver, I gotta talk to him.
Like crazy, huh?
This is a special on you on the TV Guide channel for which they had to reshoot the ending because I ran into one of the cameramen and he said, yeah, we had to go over the Bonaducci house. Reshoot the ending for the
live
story.
Did he say, we have to go over the Bonaducci house?
No, he wasn't unhappy.
Because I'm sorry my life is falling apart, dick, and that you have to take a little extra minute out of your friggin' day to come and film the carnage that my wife is taking my children away. If that's really, you know, cutting into your time, camera dude, you know, don't bother. I'll crank the friggin' camera myself, all right?
I'll go home and get your friggin' shine box.
He might be a little sensitive.
Hey,
who? Right now.
Hey, Jim.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I gotta go to Bonaducci's house in Paris.
You shouldn't have brought that up.
I've been meaning
to give Danny a huge bit of support just because, you know, starting off, Damashek was a stud, and then all of a sudden Danny comes on, and, you know, a lot of us were not sold, and now we're sold.
Thanks,
Danny,
man.
Oh, that's nice.
We're with you, buddy.
I'll marry you. I'm lonely as hell.
Thanks, Jim. So, Jim,
I love you, Jim. You were
sued for workman's comp and sexual harassment?
Yeah, there's a program up here in Sacramento called Quinn Cottages where they take people that want to get a job and want to get trained to be gainfully employed after being homeless. Mm-hmm. And so they said, oh, these people have their hand up, not their hand out.
Right.
So I was a new business person. I wanted to hire some inexpensive staff and grow with them. And over the course of a couple of years, I grew my business. But then, she started falling asleep during meetings and that kind of thing. I said, hey, this isn't going to work out. Well, a month before that, she claimed she had a stroke.
Mm-hmm.
And then when she finally left, I got served twice, once for sexual harassment. She said that she found porn on my computer and that I forced her to watch it. And then the workers comp, because she can no longer get a job, I had to pay for her salary from here on out.
Yeah, the problem is, and this is quite honestly the problem with a lot of minority hiring. People want to hire minorities, but then if you fire a minority, you may get a wrongful termination, whatever. The company I used to work with over K-Rock, we got rid of a guy who used to work there. He was black. He sued and he made a ton of money. And this guy, he claimed wrongful termination. He never showed up one day. He got, right. What happened was, is he got into an argument with one of the on-air guys, and one of the on-air guys at some remote said, well, then go home. If you're not going to do what I'm telling you to do, then go home. And he went home, and then Monday came around, and he never showed up for work. And then we said, where is he? And we called him, and he said, I'm not coming in, and sued for wrongful termination and made a whole S load of money off the company because they didn't want a racially oriented, right. whatever drag. Yeah. Through the courts, they just settled out and they paid him a big lump. By the way, it's the same guy who beat up Jimmy when during the boxing match where I trained Jimmy. But here's the point: you want to hire people. You want to give the homeless a second chance. The problem is a lot of the homeless are homeless because they're nuts, because they've survived abuse, because they have alcohol or addiction problems, and then those things come to a head when you hire them. Like you want to reach. Yes, go ahead.
Oh, in California, one of my attorneys told me, in California they have a China doll theory, where if my ex-employee was a total meth head, which she was, mm-hmm. but I'm the one that was employing her while I break her, mm-hmm. it's my fault.
Yes, there is that theory in law. It's also called the head made of eggshells theory. In other words, if you have a head made of eggshells, but I do something that makes you fall off a ladder, I'm still responsible for your head breaking.
I've said many times, the way I run my life is, If I rear end you in my car and there's no damage to your car,
I just heard this.
But you claim you can't walk, then you're defective, thus no case. Because if I give you a hug and I break a rib, you can't sue me when I gave a hug that would have worked fine on a 9-year-old or an old woman. If you have osteoporosis or you have some sort of brittle bone disease, whatever you have, that's not my fault.
Right, but do you mean you shouldn't be able to or you can't? Because you're wrong if you're saying you can't. I can sue you right now for breaking my rib.
No, you shouldn't. I'm saying right, you okay. shouldn't. I'm saying it.
Because I've had real problems in this area. So.
I've seen cars that were totaled and people walk away and they're fine. And then I've seen cars that just had a scratch on the bumper and the person says they need a wheelchair to get around in and they can't go to work anymore. My point is, there's nothing wrong with the car and you say you can't walk. Either you're lying.
Right.
Or you're defective. Either way, we're throwing the case out because we can't accommodate people that are defective. People that are, like if I go to open the door and my arm falls off
right.
and it's just dangling there holding the handle, I can't sue the radio station for making a door pneumatic closer that took too much pressure because I have a faulty arm. All right, we need to take a break. I want to keep this going because we have many.
Yeah, I'm interested in this one.
Many other people, folks accused of rape. Folks accused of molesting children. Oh, that one. Could you imagine that one? We'll take it's one thing to be accused of something, you know, stealing something or doing whatever. But accused of a crime and then B, something that would make you such a social pariah.
And forever. Yeah. Just saying it.
Yeah, you can't proven get innocent. The stink off.
Right.
That's one of the things that makes me so happy, like, that Gretchen is such a decent woman. She knows if she said anything like that, I'd cave and say, here's all the money. Don't ever say I did anything
right.
like that.
Right.
But she would never go. That's just too far from if you're willing to accuse a guy of that didn't do it, there's something so wrong with you.
Agreed.
No one would ever believe that Bonaducci was capable of molestation.
No, I get big girls.
Yeah, he likes them fat. Now, if you show me a 12-year-old plumper, maybe
with
we got a case.
Of a mustache.
Maybe we got a case.
Yeah.
All right, quick break. Back with more false allegations next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Here's what's coming up this morning on the Adam Carolla Show with program director Jack Silver.
Hello, is this Urkel? Hey, what up, homie? How'd you like to make an easy $100? Well, do you have some free time? I know, stupid question. Oh, hey, what up, peeps? Jack Mans is trying to win $10,000 for Outbook August. Today, we got actress Allie Wentworth. From The Sopranos, Frank Vincent, and Ozzy and Ray review the new Halle Berry movie, Perfect Stranger. I'd sure like to review Halle Berry, and by review, I mean roofie and repeatedly violate. Late.
Thanks, Jack. Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaducci on The Adam Carolla Show.
Oh, we're living in a society where we're turned on ourselves. We're also worried about being politically correct these days that anytime anyone points a finger, people take to the streets, and then you're innocent until found guilty, but not really in the court of public opinion like these guys from Duke. And the thing about it is I was watching 60 Minutes. That's what we're talking about last night. And the three guys who's had their lives essentially ruined by these allegations of rape and these Duke lacrosse players. The chick that accused him of it wanted to continue with the case, even though she has no case. I mean, when you start going through the evidence or the lack thereof, you realize it's insane. You know, she's saying one guy raped her and they have pictures of the guy standing at an ATM outside of town about the time, eating at a restaurant with a receipt, cell phone records where he's calling during the time. I mean, it's open and shut. You would have thrown it out. And by the way, she should be prosecuted. Now,
she might be. She's proven incompetent. She might be.
They have said thus far, the new attorney general over there in North Carolina, whoever was on 60 Minutes last night, said they're not pursuing it, which is one of those. They don't want to open this can of worms because they don't want Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson out there complaining about justice?
Whatever it is. And they don't want that to be what you know about North Carolina. Here's what we know about this place. Isn't that place where the rape happened or didn't happen? Because eventually it'll be the place the rape happened.
What is it, Virginia's for lovers?
Yeah.
Maybe it should say, like, consensual lovers. Now they ought to tack that in. North Hollywood for dry humpers, by the way, if you ever drive into my hometown.
Good to know.
Now, this woman cost the taxpayers how much money? And did what kind of damage? And then all of you people who took to the streets to have your candlelight march saying, big signs written on bed sheets saying these guys were rapists and that justice will prevail. You folks ought to take a good long look in the mirror the next time you decide to make a sign and hit the streets based on something you know nothing about in a court case that hasn't taken place yet.
And I think they should also be forced to have a candlelight vigil in front of that guy's house saying sorry.
Yes, the same.
Yeah, what about that? The same? Because, have anybody ever have a retraction printed about them?
No.
I have, and it's two lines. For a full-page story that you did this terrible, terrible thing, there's a two-line saying, we apologize, Mr. Bonaducci was not at this address that night and could not have possibly done that thing.
Well, the stripper was mentally unstable, and that's why maybe they don't want to proceed prosecuting her. But the real person who seems the blame should maybe be on Nifong for taking her allegation seriously when she had to have been obviously unstable.
Mike Nifong was grandstanding,
totally.
And he was trying to get the black vote. It was election year, and he should be brought up on charges.
Who would try and prove that a guy that plays lacrosse even likes girls? If you wear an ascot and you run around with a little net, it's probably not one of those big things that you forced yourself upon people.
It's a manly sport, or so
is.
I hear.
Yeah, I've only seen it with girls.
Coming from the Valley, I never met a human being who owned a pair of ice skates, much less even knew what lacrosse was growing up. Coley?
Seems fancy.
Coley?
Adam, Teresa, Danny, love you.
Thank you.
Love Attack Crows.
Thank you, sir.
Of course, I love the P-38 Lightning.
Oh, the P-38 Lightning is the twin boom World War II airplane?
Yeah, beautiful. The Fort-Tail Devil could outfly basically anything.
I don't know why we're talking about.
This is amazing.
It's a tank buster from World War II. Had twin booms in the back. It's the plane that had two tails and two engines on the wings. Yes. You know what it looked like? Sort of like the one that Howard Hughes crashed over Beverly Hills in that movie. But I don't know why you're bringing that up, but let's talk about, before I falsely accuse you of being a jackass, tell us what you're falsely accused of.
Adam, I do work for the airlines, one of the major ones, and I was accused of being high at work. Now, this actually worked on my behalf. I was accused on a Friday, and they walked me out, and I took the test. Now, the test takes about 24 to 48 hours to get back, even though it's rushed. So I had not only the weekend off, but an extra day as well before the test came back negative, of course.
What do you do for the airlines or the airport?
I do public relations, do it all. I put you on the plane, I make sure your bag's on, and I get you from point A to point B. Mm-hmm. I just don't make you put, 2 ounces of shaving cream in a plastic bag. That's worthless.
Here's, by the way, why they accuse Coley of being high, because it went a little something like this. His supervisor came over and was like, Coley, there's a group of Asian tourists. I need you to see them over to Concourse B. And he went, the P-51 Mustang did 568 knots. That's unladen. Okay, that's without fuel, this was known as the tank buster. It was easy on the eyes, but tough on German tanks.
And some planes were called zeros for
a reason. I think in Coley's defense, I think what he was trying to do, if I can speak for him, was he was first trying to bond with Adam, because you love the planes.
You're having a ball out
Am
here.
Am I right, Coley?
Yes, and Adam never gives enough love to the P-38 and some other aircraft.
I've never said anything about the P-38, although
I tried to help you.
I happen to know what it is. All right, so, Coley, so then you take a urine test?
You take a urine test. They can ask you for blood as well. Mm-hmm. And then you wait for the results, and the results are basically faxed back to you that next day.
Now, were you suspended, or what was the deal?
You're taken off with pay. It's kind of like being an officer shooting.
And when they say high, they just mean weed or what? On drugs?
On any narcotics or...
Why are we so tight about this for the people that aren't flying the plane or operating heavy equipment? I mean, you're just shuttling. You're a cruise director, right?
Yeah, basically.
You're just shuttling people back and forth. I mean, who cares? We got a little buzz. And by the way, I know guys that are baked and at work. I mean,
they're good at it.
Dawson's one of the best I mean, there are guys in this building.
If I had a surgeon that had a drinking problem and he started to shake if he didn't have drinks, I'd go, dude, have a couple first.
Yeah.
Sure.
There are things I do just as well after three drinks as I do with no drinks.
I wish they'd put a blender right there in the operating room. Be a nice sound to hear as you're going down. Pina colada. Just fire up.
In my world, the words blender just equal time waster.
I got to take alcohol
and mix it with things.
Yeah, Danny will be like, I'll do the booze and I'll jump up and down if I want to shake it.
Yeah, I'll let my liver blend it.
I must say, like I said, I will go insane if I ever get accused of something I didn't do. I will have to go out and do it just so I can say I did it, no matter how...
You're getting pretty famous, dude.
Horrible
Your day
it
might
is.
Be a coming.
I once read an article, and I think it was Entertainment Weekly, that was... reviewing the new man show. And I think whoever reviewed this article decided that they hated the old man show, or at least they hated me and Jimmy. And so when they were going to review the new man show, A, they gave it a good review.
Right.
And by the way, I've said this many times when it comes to these reviewers. Oftentimes they'll review something, they'll give it a horrible review, and someone will say, well, they just have it in for you or in for whoever. Well, then they should be fired, because whoever's reading the review wants to know if they should see the thing or not, not whether the guy hates whoever's starring in it.
Yes, he should recuse himself from the review if he already hates you.
I appreciated it, but I didn't see the first one. But remember the first day I started here, some guy wrote a review that apologized for his first review from before I even worked here. Said, Danny Bonaduce is going to ruin this show.
Yes.
It's going to be the worst thing ever. It was blah, blah, blah. And then the day I started, the next day he wrote a thing saying I should apologize. So I was cool with him. But he actually reviewed me before I started here, and negatively.
It happens all the time. And in this case, the new man show, which this person for Entertainment Weekly said was better than the old man show.
Do you own it?
The man show?
Yeah.
No.
Do you make money?
No.
Well, so, the hell with them.
Yeah. I don't care. Yeah. But the point is they went to say the new one is better, and I probably most people have seen it disagree with that, but I don't feel like I can weigh in on because I was too close to it. But they went on to mention that Jimmy made his ill-fated move to network late-night TV, and they were describing what happened to the old man show.
Right.
And the way that sounds, the old man show.
They describe it like this. Well, after four seasons, Jimmy makes his ill-fated trip to late-night TV, so it's already, you get this inkling that they're not really big fans.
Right.
And then it goes on to say, and then Comedy Central performed a Corollaectomy, which was to say Jimmy moved on and then they got rid of me. Right, they cut me out. And then they hired Joe Rogan and Doug Stanhope and they have the new one. Now, I had many, many, many lunches with the folks over at Comedy Central where they begged me to do another season of The Man Show. And the lunch went something like this. We'll pay you whatever you want. And you can work with whoever you want. You can work with Doug Stanhope or Joe Rogan, or you can work alone. You tell us who you want to work with, and you tell us how much money you want, and we'll do a fifth season of The Man Show. And I said, we did 100. That was enough. And I want to go over to ABC and help my buddy get his show started. So that's fine. And about the, you know, I would, the fifth time, Lauren Correa over at Comedy Central wanted to go out to lunch. I just had to say, if it's about The Man Show, I don't want to do it. I hate, it's uncomfortable for me to sit here and have you people beg to do another season, have me go, no, I appreciated what they wanted to do. They just needed to appreciate what I wanted to do. So I had a little dignity. I didn't take the money. I had a little loyalty. I went with my friend and I said, creatively, we've done 100. That's enough. But whoever wrote Entertainment Weekly decided it would be insulting to say Comedy Central performed a Corollaectomy, and anyone read it, well, they just assumed that's what Comedy Central did when it couldn't have been further from the truth. I was outraged. I was pissed off. I don't like that. I don't like the idea that you don't like me, so you get to make up what you want to write. See, that's the thing. Look, you can hate Barry Bonds. The man still has 725 home runs. You can't hate Barry Bonds and go, he has what?
A dozen home runs, maybe nine.
Right. Sorry, hate him all you want, and maybe he deserves to be hated, maybe I deserve to be hated, but don't make stuff up when you're writing an article that supports your hatred of the person.
One of you does deserve to be hated.
I don't know what we're yelling about.
Now, my point is if I can get PO'd about that, and I was PO'd, then if you accuse me of being a pedophile or a rapist or a spousal abuse or something, I would go out of my mind. John?
Yes?
You are calling from Seattle?
I sure am.
Song calms me down. Yes. What happened?
Makes me nervous.
Oh, gosh. I lived at a daycare center that was family run, and one of the 3.5-year-old boys was saying that somebody was giving him BJs.
Mm-hmm.
And he kept saying it was the big guy that lived there.
Mm-hmm.
And so naturally everybody thought it was me. I was about 20 at the time or so, and I was just kind of a helper.
Mm-hmm.
And what ended up happening was there was a few days where everybody was accusing me and I was kind of ostracized a little bit. And what ended up transpiring was I had a nephew living there also who was about 11, and he was going around doing these sexual acts on kids and stuff.
Always good.
Good times. And by the way, your defense of yourself was probably not the greatest one in hindsight, saying, first off, giving BJs, people, giving, not receiving, giving. And number two, I didn't do it. But number one, giving. Come on, people.
I said I prefer girls.
All right, John. Well, you're good to mediocre. Name was cleared?
Yes. For the most part, actually, you know, I'd never seen the family again.
But then it turned out to be your nephew, did you say? Your cousin?
Yeah, nephew. And he was visiting from the Philippines. And it turned out they were the mother from a different marriage was showing him pornography all the time and everything. So.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, most of the crimes, whether it's kid-on-kid sexual crime or adult-on-kid sexual crimes, you can go back and find out what happened to that kid or what happened to that adult. And I would like those people thrown in the same cell. If you sexually abuse your kid and then your kid sexually abuses my kid, it's you I'm looking for, not the monster. It's your dog that you beat repeatedly hopping over the fence and biting me. I'm interested in having the dog put down, but yeah, I'd like to find the owner. Yeah. I want the dog put down, yeah. But then I want to find the owner who beat the crap out of the dog and didn't feed it.
Right. But you start with my dog, I have to kill you first, or the dog, whichever owner, kid, dog I come across first. That's just something, I don't know, can it be worse than murder? Because you take away a whole guy's life when you kill him. But to molest a child, are you worse than a murderer?
I think it depends what the circumstances are. You know, because murder.
What are the good circumstances?
Well, there's murder and then there's killing somebody and then there's self-defense and all that kind of stuff. I mean,
But if you put them on an even par as a crime, then I just shot you in the head because I'm a weirdo and shot you in the head. Mm-hmm. Or I grabbed an 8-year-old because I'm a weirdo and grabbed an 8-year-old.
I think society accepts the concept of murder.
So do I.
Better than the concept of, you know, it's a weird thing because it's interesting, you know, we're in Iraq killing people
right
now, and they're killing us, and we accept it. As a matter of fact, you know, we praise it. You know, we will take guys like Pat Tillman and make heroes out of them, and they are heroes.
They are heroes.
So it's weird then when you kill somebody, but you didn't have probable cause or you weren't justified in doing it. But there's no molestation version of that. It's not like, well, we got to go to Iraq. When those guys hit the beach in Normandy in 1944, they sort of molested a bunch of Germans.
In the pillboxes?
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of weird that we do so much killing. Even the government does killing. I mean, in Texas, if I sure. get accused of killing you and they convict me, then I get killed.
You're
so
going,
it's just
yeah.
weird. It's easy and things get blurry, whereas molestation, there's no version of that we're even close to. All right.
Yeah, they don't get giants to come in and touch your private spots.
Although, write that down. T.
Yes.
What's coming up in the news, baby doll?
Well, Britney Spears went to get a tan and some sushi, and thankfully, she decided to talk to the media.
Wow.
And all my management, they totally knew what they were doing when they sent me to rehab. Like, totally. Like, they totally knew what they were doing.
This is not a joke, and I've got more.
Oh, boy, I haven't even heard this.
Me either. How did I miss that?
More Britney bombs next on The Adam Carolla Show.
And now, The Adam Carolla Show presents Great Moments in Local News.
Guys, the heights that people will go to rescue their pets, and this
literally
happens to be a cockatoo.
Josh, wouldn't you think that the bird could get out of the tree?
You would think,
itself?
Yeah. That, like, you know, come on down. Here's a little cracker or something.
But they're house birds, so I guess they're not.
Oh, their wings may be clipped too.
That could be a number of
how to get up there.
That's a good point.
That's a great moment in local news. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Makes me miss Rachel Perry when I hear that kind of news. Sam. T.
Yes.
What's going on in your news, baby doll?
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter on this station right now.
Don Imus fired, as we've spoken about, ad nauseum. And, of course, he went and met with the Rutgers women's basketball team. Last Friday, Rutgers coach C. Vivian Stringer said that they accepted the apology of Don Imus. She said, quote, "We still find his statements to be unacceptable, and this is an experience we will never forget. These comments are indicative of greater ills in our culture."
Yeah, I love it whenever these stories come out, they always, you know, 1 billion forums on it. They get a whole bunch of people out from the woodwork, and they all do these symposiums about what's going on. And somebody always announces, actually, it's whenever something like this happens, and now this has converged with Jackie Robinson's 60th season or year, whatever.
The stars aligned on this one.
Because they always do this thing. They go, it's a great achievement what the great Jackie Robinson did with crossing the color barrier. Of course, there's still a lot of work to do. We got a long, long, long way to go. And then whenever they do these other ones, everyone goes, well, of course, we're living in a very racist society. I don't buy that.
I'm
tired of people talking about what a racist society we are. Look, people may make jokes that are improper. They may think things that are improper. They may shut the locker room door, look around to see if there's any black guys or Mexican guys, and then, or Polish guys, although they're getting harder to find these days, and they may do a joke. I don't think those same guys return to their office and then fire the black people and the Mexican people and whoever else. And again, this thing where, hey man, it's in your heart. I don't care. if we're living in a society filled with murderers, but none of them ever pick up a gun or a knife, so be it.
Yeah.
If everyone's just a murderer in their heart, I don't care.
I think most of us are.
I don't care. Yes, I do think everyone recognizes the difference in everybody all the time. All right, let me go on a quick jag here, and then it's right back to the news. Look, people, it all started when you told us to quit profiling. We can't not profile. We see a guy walk up to us, and that guy looks like he's had his nose broken five times, and we think, wow, this guy may be a boxer, some kind of brawler, some kind of badass. I better be careful. Versus a guy who comes up and looks like Ron Howard, and we think, I think I could handle this guy. Then you address him in a different tone. Why? We're worried about getting our ass kicked. If you're a cab driver and you drive through New York and you're from some part of the world that we've never even heard of, although there's a good chance we're invading you now.
Right.
And all you've learned from watching TV is seeing a bunch of black criminals, and you know that the population is 50% in prison and 10% in the outside, and it's 12:30 and you're in the wrong part of town. Well, then you don't want to pick the black guy up. But it's not the black guy. You don't want to pick up anyone
right.
who has a disproportionate representation in prison for violent crimes. If the Asians start doing that, then the cab drivers will stop picking up the Asians. That's all we do is look around and we try to assess the possible risk. When you see a fat person, you think, well, I don't want to sleep with them. They'll break me. That's what we do. When you see anybody for any reason, when you see someone with horrible skin, you make judgments. You think they're someone who doesn't take care of themselves.
You want me back over.
When you smell somebody, you make a judgment. Oh, this guy's unkempt. This guy doesn't. You never stop judging. Now,
who screens these calls?
Does that mean you have to? Oh.
Kyle smells fine. For the record.
Smells better. How dare you? He's mad now. Look, here's my point. Stop talking us into not judging and to not profiling. We can't turn it off.
Our brains are
we
built
can't
for judging.
Stop it.
It's not a bad idea, God bless America.
It
There's a wonderful book called The Gift of Fear.
Yes. And look, let me tell you something. In nature, there are snakes that when they crawl around, they try to mimic the sound of a rattler.
Right.
So you think it's a rattler, right. So you don't pick them up in your cab.
Right.
Wait a minute. Right. My point is in nature to judge, not only in our nature and human nature, just in nature to profile. That's something that's burned in our deep reptilian brain. Now, as far as the racist part, yes, everybody sees differences in tall, short, black and white, brown and every shade in between. Do we fire them based on it? No. Sometimes there is a rogue person that does that. But by and large, the white people are so busy bending over backward trying to make up for the one guy who fired somebody whenever he did it, that there's actually reverse form of racism going on, which is whitey bending over. I mean, I've said it many times. We every year when I used to be on K-Rock, we'd go to the big weenie roast event. We would pile into a bus. It was the same one that Kimmel farted up on the ride home in 96. But the point is there'd be 30 of the whitest people in the world going to a, you know, K-Rock concert out and wherever for the weenie roast. And there was the black guy who drove the bus. Now, the black guy had the station tuned to Power 106.
That's funny.
Or K-Day or whatever. And he was listening to the music he wanted to listen to. We were all heading to a radio event. They were playing the show on K-Rock live. They were a bunch of independent, you know, indie music people and all that kind of stuff. They did not want to hear what Kool and the gang were up to.
And you're aware that's no accident, right?
He tuned the radio to whatever he tuned it to when he's driving. The point is, 30 white people and a 45-minute station-sponsored bus did not say to the guy, hey, could you put it on the goddamn station that paid for the bus and is paying for you, by the way? 30 guilty white people didn't say a word. So all I'm saying is for every white guy that does something wrong, there are 30 of us trying to make up for it. And I wish I had some of them in my life. That's all I'm saying.
Is that all you're saying?
All I'm saying is, look, we're not a racist society. Racism exists.
Yeah, sure.
Everything exists. It's like saying, it's back to murdering. Yes, there are murders. Are we a murdering society? I don't think so. Are we a cheating society? No. Do people cheat? All the time. Okay. Thank you.
Another issue.
Thank you.
News.
Wow.
I'm just tired of walking around and people making these horrible umbrella statements about our society. And then we're all supposed to just hang our heads and go, that's right, we're racist. I live in this society. I'm not racist. And I look around and I can't find any of my friends that are.
Right. But then people flip out about, hey, what about that guy that dragged that guy behind his truck? Hey, that's one lunatic. That's not America.
Right.
That's a maniac.
Sure.
Of course.
Now, another issue that's a debate has been sparked by this Don Imus situation is about the use of the word hoe. Who can use the word hoe?
Can
black people use the word hoe? Can white people use the word hoe? And obviously that word is used a lot in the world of hip hop and rap. Now, Russell Simmons is offering up his justification for the word hoe in hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
He said, hip hop is a worldwide cultural phenomenon that transcends race and does not engage in racial slurs. Imus's racially motivated diatribe toward the Rutgers women's basketball team was in no way connected to hip hop culture. Don Imus is not a hip hop artist or poet. Hip hop artists rap about what they see, hear, and feel around them, their experience of the world. Now, this begs the question, are the hip hop artists and rappers just trying to manifest what they see, or are they creating that world by rapping about
hoes? Well, first of all, if that's his explanation, then if he'd have called them nappy-headed harlots, mm-hmm. he wouldn't have gotten in any trouble.
True that, peeps.
My belief, it was the nappy head.
Well, the nappy did cause it.
Ho is almost a generally accepted word. It's derogatory, but
right.
it gets said.
Right.
When you combine that with about African-American women and use nappy-headed and then ho, you've called a woman a name. Nowadays, it seems like you call a woman a hoe. It's like saying, how's it going? In certain circles.
Here's the thing. Yes, the rappers see what they see, come from where they come from, and rap about it. That's fine. But they are, well, it's like this. Jennifer Aniston gets her hair cut on Friends, and then half the country gets their hair cut like Jennifer Aniston. They're not on TV shows. They're not hanging out with Chandler and Phoebe and the like. But they just see.
Yeah, they're reflecting what they see in the culture.
Right.
On the TV.
Right. So when we hear a very popular form of whatever, especially when you're an old guy and you're trying to appeal to a younger audience, then you talk like you hear the young popular and people talking, living, and then you get into trouble.
Every living human being is a younger audience.
That's true. Anyone is alive. Technically, if you're alive,
you're younger than I am.
You're younger than he is.
That's so ghetto.
I'm glad you mentioned the Rachel haircut, because now there's, of course, the Britney Spears haircut, which mm-hmm. is, of course, shaving your head bald.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Britney Spears had kind of been under the radar for a while since coming out of rehab, but she's back. Over the weekend, she went for a tan and some sushi with her cousin. And on the way out, according to TMZ.com, she called over a paparazzi agency to tape a message to the public. She actually did two takes of her message. And I believe she was being sarcastic, but I'm not really sure. So I'd welcome your feedback. Here's Britney Spears' soliloquy.
I just really, want to talk and just say, how nice our world is. Like, it is so nice. Like, I'm going to cry right now because, our world is so nice. No, it really is because, oh my God, the other day I saw, this magazine and I looked at it and it said, I was pregnant and, I went up to my mom and I was like, oh my God, my mom knew. She was right. Always believe everything you read, everybody. Because I am. I really am pregnant. And then, I went to, this person and they saw it, on the USA Today, that, I was drinking a lot. And it was so true. It was so true. And then, it was just so weird because, then after that, everybody, just always believe what you read. Because, in all my management, they totally knew what they were doing when they sent me to rehab. Totally. They totally knew what they were doing. It's just so weird how great and nice our world is. And, after this, nobody's going to talk about this because our world is so nice. So that's all I wanted to say. So, okay, bye.
Her best acting since Crossroads.
I kind of tuned out. That was Al Sharpton on the whole Imus thing?
Jesse Jackson.
Oh. Seriously, was that her, really?
Yeah.
That was
because
her?
Yeah.
You'd have to be clever to sound that perfectly stupid. That's perfection. That's Yo-Yo Ma.
I think she was doing a bit and being sarcastic.
But she's brilliant at it. It was great.
So that was performance art?
I think maybe it was.
But you have to establish yourself as the smartest guy in the room before you act like the dumbest guy in the room.
Absolutely.
Not the second to dumbest guy in the room before you act like
right.
the dumbest guy in the room.
You also have to go away before you can make a comeback. She's right. failed to notice either of these
True.
Things.
Well, who's gone away for good is Hawaiian singer Don Ho. Mm. He died on Saturday. The Hawaiian crooner is best known for this song, Tiny Bubbles, which is, of course, about getting drunk.
Well, speaking of getting drunk, well, not getting drunk, but possibly high. I once talked to Don Ho, and I was like, how much land do you have in Hawaii? He, by the way, has tons of acres in Hawaii. And when I say to him, you grow a lot of weed on that land? He was like, oh.
Really?
I have no idea if it's true or not, but he seemed to indicate the last time I interviewed him that he smoked copious amounts of herb.
No kidding.
But he may not know because he was way too
tiny
high.
Bubbles in his bong?
Tiny bubbles in the bong makes me happy. Oops, I'm missing one of my thongs. What a life that guy carved out. He had a show in the 70s from, like, Waikiki. It was back when you could just put anything on TV. It's like, from Hawaii, the Don Ho Show. And he'd just stand there, and he'd be like, ladies and gentlemen, Dinah Shore. And then she'd sing a song that was slower to that, and then they'd come back, and he'd bust out the ukulele, and he would sing this song, and he would go home and get high and buy another acre.
And make a fortune. Oh. He was still, the last time I was in Hawaii, he was still the thing to do was to go see Don Ho.
Well, to Don Ho, the last Ho we can talk about on radio. Rest in peace. Right. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
Teresa Strasser with the real news. You, CNN.
Mm-hmm. All right, we need to take ourselves... Mahalo. Oh, that's right.
Mahalo.
There he is. That's the old love line drop. We are going to bring in someone who I met many years ago over at the Groundlings, Allie Wentworth. Who's Allie Wentworth? Well, she's married to George Stephanopoulos, number one. Number two, she's been in a ton of TV shows. You've definitely seen her. Headcase, new series on Stars, by the way, premieres this Wednesday. So she's got that also... I'm always curious when I remember somebody from back in the day, if they remember me from back in the day. Usually, they definitely do, or they have no idea what I'm talking about, which will probably be an embarrassing case. But we'll talk to Allie Wentworth next on The Adam Carolla Show.
Back to The Adam Carolla Show. Here's what not to watch on TV tonight. At 6 on CNN, don't watch Larry King Live, a week-long celebration of Larry King's 50th anniversary in broadcasting, kicks off with an appearance by Oprah Winfrey. And at 8 on ION, don't watch Mama's Family. Mama sees red when she has a visitor from the Soviet Union. And at 8:30 on FX, be sure to miss The Hot Chick. A grungy criminal and a teen queen switch bodies. Starring Rob Schneider. That's what not to watch. Now back to The Adam Carolla Show.
If you go into the joint, you'll see almost everyone looks like Rob Schneider. Allie Wentworth in studio. Headcase, name of her new series on Stars, premieres this Wednesday, 11 o'clock. Also going to be on The Tonight Show. Tonight, NBC, 11:30. Allie, do you remember me from back in the day?
Adam, of course I do. No idea.
Sorry, Brian, stepped on your punchline.
He's getting busy with that.
We, I guess...
You do the little noises and you do the shticky stuff? Oh, look at you. Did you go to college or no? There's just...
Play the song.
Play the song.
Play the USC fight song.
We were both expecting that.
Allie Wentworth.
Adam.
The ultimate shiksa, as I like to think of her. I guess we did a little studying at the Groundlings, although I may have been thrown out of there right as you were getting there, or I can't remember if we were there at the same time. Many years ago, but look at us.
You would have wanted to date me, so I'm going to say no, we weren't there at the same time.
I definitely would have been hot
like
for you.
I like your confidence.
Yeah. And would you have gone out with me?
Probably, because I was very insecure.
Well, I was going to go desperate.
Why could you be?
They go hand in hand.
You first off, Allie, beautiful blonde.
Oh.
And, well, of course.
Oh, thank you.
You know you're an attractive woman, and certainly if I would have seen you back in the day and asked you for a date, I would have been very excited to go out with you.
Well, and that was pre-two babies, too, so everything wasn't misplaced.
Oh, you still look like you're in fine shape.
Oh, don't make me take my clothes off. Yes.
I'm interested in two stories. One is, I remember somebody was stabbed or assaulted in the back of the Groundlings Theater.
Wow,
was that
Adam,
you?
Let's go for the funny.
Was that you?
That's always comedy.
Woo! That was me.
What happened, and who were you with? Because I couldn't remember who else you were with.
Well, the show's on Stars. At I was with a comedian named Mark Steen, and we had parked our car in the alley, and we were attacked by a cholo gang with tattoos.
Really?
Called Dr. Tattoo.
Were they armed?
They had screwdrivers and knives.
That's
and
a yes.
I ran to the street to get help. Mark was stabbed, but we, you know, everything was okay.
Did they,
and
was it a robbery?
Nothing funny to mine out of this. Yeah, they took my Ralph Lauren wallet, my grandmother's ring, and my beat up Subaru, which I was happy to see go.
Right.
And that's it. And then they dumped the car, you know, a few miles away. And
did they catch the guys ever?
No, the cops said it wasn't a priority because I wasn't gang raped and murdered.
Uh-huh.
But your friend was stabbed.
He was, but he didn't die. So we were case number, you know, 3,400.
And was he your boyfriend or just a platonic friend?
Easy. He became my boyfriend after we went through the ordeal.
Oh, yeah. Once you get stabbed with a guy, it's like, you know, you got to start
bonding. Bonding, yeah.
And, of course, my mother's answer to everything is go to the Four Seasons. So we both went to the Four Seasons for a week.
It's funny. A screwdriver, somebody was stabbed. They stole your purse. They stole your car, but it wasn't a priority. I jaywalk. I go to jail for 3 days.
Yeah.
Yeah, if your car.
It's just a different personality thing, I think.
Here's the thing about the priorities as far as law enforcement goes in the city. If your car was parked and the bumper was hanging into the red zone, it would have been a priority to tow the car.
Well, all those guys would be on death row right now.
Oh, yeah. So if their car, if they misplace your car or mispark it. So you're all right. And that is the person I was thinking of from 20 years ago or however long
years
ago it was.
Adam, I'm 25. It couldn't have been 20 years ago.
Well, I was like, even I was five. You could have done it.
Yes. Now, speaking of boyfriends, you're married to George Stephanopoulos?
If you said his name right.
Stephanopoulos?
Yes. I am. I didn't make. It's not the PR machine. I actually am married to George Stephanopoulos.
Who you met on a blind date?
Who I met on a blind date? Yes.
I got married on a blind date. In the middle of a blind date.
Really?
Yeah, I met a girl. Sober? She was really cool.
No. Allie, did you know on your first date with George that this was it?
I did.
Really?
I was when I was set up with him, and I grew up in Washington. I grew up amongst politics. You know, our phones were tapped during Watergate. I hated it. Couldn't wait to get out. So when I was being set up with him, I just was not interested. I was like, he's not my type. No. And in fact, I was sort of pushing people to introduce me to Matt Perry and Hugh Grant. That's the direction I was going in.
Sure.
One of those would have been really fun, I can tell you.
I know. Yeah. So then when I met him for lunch, I had no expectations. I hadn't shaved my legs, didn't care. And by the end of lunch, I was completely... more than smitten. We were engaged 2 months later.
Was there something he did or said or something about him?
You know, are you single? You're asking me single
nice hairy legs.
Yeah,
that's a gimme.
That's like when someone wants you to talk about food and halfway into it you go, are you hungry?
I'll tell you, it's such a gimme when girls don't shave their legs. If you see a girl's got her legs and they're not, she hasn't shaved recently, she has made an intention in her mind before she left the house. No matter how much I like this guy, I'm not going to have sex.
Yeah, but I'm curious
you
because...
You should do that on purpose.
Because
yeah.
there are some people
I'm sorry.
Who...
Stop.
I'm curious, Al, because there's some people who say they knew right away, and some people say, I didn't know till 6 months into dating.
No, I knew 10 minutes in.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Not to sound like a Hallmark card, I felt like I was home. Like, it was totally comfortable. I had been with people for 8-10 years.
Well,
this is inspiring to me, Allie. I need this.
George is easy on the eyes, and seems like a very smart, articulate man. Yes?
Yes, he's incredibly smart and articulate, and very well-versed and educated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a Rhodes Scholar.
Anything we need to know about him? Is he into rough trade in the bedroom or anything good?
No, he...
Come on.
I'm not allowed. Look at these scars. I'm not allowed to comment.
But
on
does he whiz
life.
In the sink or something? Do you know what I mean? Like one good.
He doesn't.
George.
He does not pick his underwear up off the floor.
Okay.
Which means I have to with a golf club because. No.
You don't
want to
touch it?
No. No wives want to touch
it. Chip it into
that.
The hamper.
See, you never know the silver lining. I don't pick up my underwear off the floor, and I'm still in it. And my wife just has to pick up the whole mess and put you into bed.
Put
so
Danny
think
in the
how
tumble.
Lucky you are.
Throw you in the washing machine. So Allie, now yeah. do you live out here, or do you live in Washington? Does George live in
we
Washington?
We both live together in Washington because he has his show, sure. The Sunday morning show this week with George Stephanopoulos.
Right.
ABC.
He's on that.
Yes.
He's a recurring. Mm-hmm. And so we live in D.C. And when I work, I come out here. I go to New York. But, you know, my life is either sweatpants with the kids or I'm sitting next to Cheney at a black tie dinner.
And you said you grew wow. up in Washington. And you yeah. said your mother was President Reagan's, or you didn't say
I didn't
it, but
say
I'm
that.
Reading it, that your mother was President Reagan's social secretary.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But the only Democrat in the White House.
Uh-huh. And your father, what did he do or what was?
My father was a writer for the Washington Post during mm-hmm. Watergate. And nice. My stepfather was one of the editors of the London Sunday Times and foreign correspondent.
Isn't it funny how you made your way sort of back to Washington? Yeah. I mean, you
That's
came out here.
What
and...
I can't believe. I mean, I was out here. I mean, think I was the black sheep of the family. I was on In Living Color. I was potty mouthed and... I thought the last thing I was ever going to do was go back to Washington. I wouldn't even go back for Christmas. I would meet everybody halfway. Mm. And the next thing I knew, I was knocked up and living, you know, a few blocks from where I grew up.
I think you initially rebel against your family, and then whether it's nature or nurture, you start returning. Like, after I turned 40, I started getting this urge to quit my job, buy beat up VW Squareback, and only watch black and white TV. That was it. Started
you can
all
never
started.
Go home again.
It all started to rise up. Yes,
it's like what Al Pacino says in The Godfather. You know, you try to get out, and they just pull you right
so back in.
So, were your parents friends with Woodward and Bernstein, and
yeah.
in that crowd?
Yeah,
and you
That's
had your
cool.
your phone was tapped. Your home phone was tapped
because they believed my stepfather, the editor, was a spy for the Russians.
So, your stepfather would be portrayed in the movie All the President's Men. Would he?
No, he would not be.
He would not be.
No. No, he wasn't. I mean, he wasn't in the movie, but
a character based on him.
Nothing. That's what
no,
I'm. That's
no,
what I'm
no,
saying.
No, no, no.
Oh, okay, because that would have been very cool.
But I mean, we were told there's four of us that our phones were tapped, and so of course you can't say that to a bunch of pre-adolescents because everything was like balls.
We do that for 4 hours every morning.
Yes,
by the
that
way.
Was the precursor to your going into the Groundlings and such.
Yes, it was.
Actually, I yell balls and then Brian plays the fart sound effect, and this is pretty much 4 hours of balls.
Oh, good. See, like a well-oiled machine, this place.
Allie Wentworth.
It wasn't quite as well-oiled till now.
Head case. Quickly, Allie, tell us what we can expect on Wednesday night on Stars at 11 o'clock.
I'll tell you, it's head case is, I play a very insane shrink, mm-hmm. and it's real celebrities on the couch, and it's unscripted, and everybody was game, and it was funny, and... I wouldn't be here if I didn't believe in
wow,
it.
Wow, that sounds really cool.
It's very funny. Alanis Morissette, Jason Priestley.
Are
realizes,
they on tonight's episode?
Wednesday night is Jason Priestley, okay. who I convince is a homosexual.
Oh.
And so they just...
You convince him he's a homosexual
yeah.
when he...
When he's in therapy, he's married and everything, but we do some experimenting with dolls and clothes, and Jason, finally, he comes out of the closet.
And it's unscripted.
It's scripted within the office. I share an office with a Freudian shrink and mm-hmm. an insane assistant who's celebrity obsessed. Mm-hmm. But then as soon as they come in, they have no idea what's going to happen.
Interesting. And you guys just sort of keep rolling
yep.
and do stream of consciousness and
yep.
see where
and
it goes.
And we have two cameras hidden so the celebrity feels comfortable. Now, a few people kind of got too comfortable and I was like, this is a comedy show. Oh, you're not really.
Like Alanis, how was she?
She was hilarious. She mm-hmm. came up with the funniest line. She said, the first time I got an STD was in my eyes.
Nice!
Which I think is very funny. Alanis Morissette should be doing comedy.
That's what that song, In Your Eyes, is written
yeah,
about.
That's exactly
in your
right.
eyes. Ooh, I'm sorry about that.
So
everybody was game, and, you know, it was incredibly fun to do. It was like being at the Groundlings again.
Interesting. Well, I'm going to watch.
I would
Stars
do it.
on, I'd like to do it as well. Have me and Bonaducci in person.
Nothing would make me happier than to do a little couple therapy with you two.
Oh, that'd be funny. That'd be funny.
Headcase, new series on Starz, premieres this Wednesday at 11 o'clock. Allie Wentworth.
Thank you.
Nice to see you again.
Nice to see you, Adam.
Say hi to George.
I will. Paul.
Tell him to pick up his underwear.
I will.
Tell him.
Or I will.
We need to take ourselves a little break. Let's see. Is it Frank Vincent? Yeah. Frank Vincent, I do believe. Let me check my notes here. Lately. Yes, Frank from the Sopranos will get us, Phil Leotardo, you know him as from the Sopranos, will get us caught up on last night's episode next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Back to Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaducci from HBO's The Sopranos.
Sure, we break some balls here tonight, but I go way back. In the light of recent humiliations, it's an honor to be joined by men. And not f***ing ass cornhole and suckers. Like married my cousin. He should die.
Frank Vincent is on the Adam Carolla Show.
Great to talk to you, Frank.
Good morning. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. And let me thank you, first off, for always using a landline when you're on this show, or at least a connection that is so crystal clear, I can't tell whether you're in the next room or across the country.
Well, that's good. That's terrific. Thank you.
I know it sounds retarded, but every other person we speak to on the phone is talking on their cell phone, and they're going through a tunnel, and I'm catching every third word.
Last week, I was on set.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
And you still sounded great.
By the way, sometimes we have guests where we can only hear every third word, and they're better that way.
Yes.
It's actually good to be able to understand you.
Every fifth would be preferable. The Sopranos, I saw the episode last night. It seems like Frank Vincent's character, Phil Leotardo, is starting to gain a little momentum. You can start to try to see the way the tea leaves are laying in the tea, because you're thinking, well, this guy's dying, but this guy is just coming to life.
Do you think they're laying a trap for you to make you believe something that's going to be a big switcheroo, or do you think it's the obvious growth?
I don't know. It seemed to indicate when they did the, you know, coming up this season or this next week or whatever, the previews, that Phil Leotardo, namely Frank Vincent, was going to start getting more and more involved with the plot. Can you at least tell us if that's true, Frank?
Well, you heard what he said last night at the bar when he was closing that scene with Butchie. He said, 20 years for what? For Melillo, for Doc Santora?
Right.
No more of this, he said. What did he say? It's no more of this stuff.
And I like the little backstory. And look, turn your radio off if you don't want us to spoil it. I know some people TiVo the show and they don't want the spoiler. And I don't know what I could give away, but specifically, when Frank Vincent gave the little story about his last name being Leonardo, and they changed it at Ellis Island to Leotardo, that was just a great moment.
Adam, that's called genius writing.
Mm-hmm.
Now to deliver that material and know that it's comedic, but still deliver it with the heartfelt feeling that he's really sincere about it, is where the humor and all that lies.
Well, it's funny that as an actor, the more serious you are about it, the funnier it's going to be. So if you want to get, you know, some of the biggest laughs in The Sopranos are when the guys are most serious about what they're saying.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. When he said to me, how did you like Florida?
Right.
He's hot like my.
Right.
Yes, I remember that.
Yes, we're talking about. I won't say the part, but it's between your thigh and your penis, and it's in your underpants.
Nice. But you know, at Ellis Island, they used to do that every now and again. If they couldn't pronounce your name,
sure.
They would just make it a little more American. And there's a joke, even I forget, in a Jackie Chan movie where his name is like Chun Wing or something, and they change his name to John Wayne.
Well, when I first got the role, when I heard the character's name as being Phil Leotardo, a bell went off in my brain. You know, I'm talking about a couple of seasons ago. Mm-hmm. And I said, this is a very, very odd name to have, to call a character, because it's so close to the other name of Leotard. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it always had sort of like, gave me an itch somewhere.
Right.
And before you know it, they came out of the closet, the writers.
Yeah, and it's funny that, you know, a lot of shows would have wanted to address that the first time you showed up on screen, but they gave you three seasons, and then they brought it up just a short 9 years later. Because let's remember, three seasons on The Sopranos is 25 years.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right. Did you ever ask David Chase why Leotardo?
No, never asked him. Never asked him, but it didn't matter because... You know, the name became irrelevant until it was relevant.
Well, some of the names are great, obviously, and it's smart to give your characters really funny, catchy names. And do you know, or does anyone ever, you ever talk to him about where he comes up with any of these things, Paulie Walnuts or any of these things?
Well, I got to tell you this. I've had dinner with David Chase and Terry Winter. And when the whole Doc Santora thing came about, because Doc Santora is a very dear friend of mine, and we met David. He met David in a limousine and blah, 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 and he wound up with the role. And this is a real physician. It's my personal physician, Dr. Conti. And we sat and had dinner. My wife's Ukrainian, and he made my girlfriend in the film, in the show, Ukrainian.
I mean,
he takes every bit of information that passes by his ears, and he uses it.
Well, speaking of that, that's the new plot line now. They've made the movie The Cleaver. And it's great to have a movie inside of the movie.
Yep.
As a matter of fact, I was watching at the end of The Sopranos, they did this thing where they go behind the scenes for the making of The Cleaver, which... At first I thought, oh, we're going to see the actor, but now I realize we're going to see a fake behind the scenes, right?
Exactly.
Wow.
Very clever.
Like peeling that onion.
Well, for a guy that's in Drawn Together, which I think is a brilliant concept, that's kind of the same thing, really.
Well, maybe, Crank Yankers. Are you thinking of Crank Anchors or Drawn Together?
No, I'm thinking about Drawn Together as a reality show about all these people that live in a house.
Well, that's a good
point.
Except
they're cartoons. They're not, so everything's fake.
Yeah, I just thought...
That's brilliant, by the way.
Thanks. Everything that comes out, even the stuff that's connected with The Sopranos seems to be smarter than other
shows.
Yeah,
and by the way, another way that they seem to have worked in your real life, and correct me if I'm wrong, Frank Vincent, but you have a book, The Guy's Guide to Being a Man's Man, and you're...
You got it?
And there was a book on the show called The
Wife's Guide, Guy's Guide, or something.
Is that based on your book?
Yeah, that's exactly what he does. And now the guy who played that character in the show last night, that's Matthew Weiner. He's one of the executive producers.
Okay,
I wonder. Named Wiener. You have to be successful. It's like with a name like Smuckers, it has to be good. With a name like Wiener, you have to be in charge.
I hope he marries your daughter and they get the hyphenated Leotardo Wiener.
So that guy was one of the producers on the show.
He
was an
executive producer, one of the head writers, exactly.
So, Frank, last time we spoke to you last week, you were on the set. You're doing some final shoots or some pickups. How many more shoot days do you personally have before you are wrapped for the final?
I am series wrapped right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that we have to still owe some looping that we have to do. But that's done in the studio. That's done in the sound studio.
Right. So you'll go do some voiceover work, but no more shooting. So for you, The Sopranos is really over.
It's over.
How did you feel when you shot that last frame?
Well, there's a bit of, it's a bittersweet thing. Everybody claps for you when they say it's Frank Vincent's series wrap, and everybody, it's sad. It's sad. I mean, it's just a hell of a job. It's a hell of a thing to be part of, and you get sad.
It's funny. I remember distinctly in my real family at home, we just announced it's the last season, and we all broke up, and nobody cared.
Boy.
But when they canceled my series, I was bummed.
Yep.
Shine my real family. They're wolves. Give me my job, family.
Right, exactly.
Well, as we discussed and we talked about it with Frank Vincent a few weeks ago, James Gandolfini is probably done being Tony Soprano, and maybe he feels like he doesn't want to be typecast or end up being Tony Soprano for the rest of his life. But everyone else pretty much is on board for another season, right?
Sure, in a heartbeat.
Now, again, I don't know if you've pitched this to Mr. Chase or not, but my idea of replacing Gandolfini with Ted McGinley.
What about Daniel Baldwin? He did a good job.
Oh, boy.
Too close.
Yeah.
McGinley, I mean, it is more than a zig to your zag. It would be, and you never mention it. You see, that's the whole thing. All you mention is a seventh season of The Sopranos. The whole cast is coming back, and there, here comes Ted McGinley in his bathrobe coming down the stairs.
As Darren.
That's funny. That's funny.
And anyone who doesn't know who Ted McGinley is, you can IMDb him, and then you'll get a bigger laugh.
You should be ashamed of yourself, right?
Thank you. Frank, let's give you a nice plug for being such a good guy on this show. FrankVincent.com. You can get your guy's guide to being a man's man.
Which I, of course, need right now. You know, Danny, this is perfect advice for me right now.
Yeah, Danny is single, Frank.
Oh, for the
first,
book, Danny.
For the first time in almost 20 years, my wife just filed for divorce 7-8 days ago.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so I need the guy's you to have be
any,
a man's man.
You have any quick advice for Danny in this very critical time?
I hope it's have sex with as many people as possible.
Absolutely.
There you see. I knew I'd relate immediately.
As quick as you can. Even doubles and triples.
Okay, we'll talk off the air because we're doing all right.
And whereas I'm not going to be divorced for a few months... Yeah. I still can go to FrankVincent.com and get myself a
go home and get your f***ing shine box.
Travel mug.
Right. You should really buy one of those.
He has a mug that has that on it, right?
Yeah, we have that. We have Phil Leotardo photographs and T-shirts. We got a whole line of Soprano stuff.
Sure, why not?
Frank, cha-ching, jing.
Frank, thank you, and we'll speak to you next Monday.
Adam, everybody, thanks for having me.
Thank you, Frank.
I love that Frank Vincent.
No, what a nice man.
We will take a break. When we come back, it is Monday, thus Music Monday. Now, topic for Music Monday.
Yeah.
On the heels of Danny's divorce. Songs you want to hear or don't want to hear after you just got dumped. So you just broke up. You just got dumped. You just got your heart torn apart. You get into your car. You turn the key. What song is on the radio? Is it the song you really want to hear? Is it the one you really don't want to hear? We have our good and our bad breakup songs. You can chime in with yours, but give it a minute. We'll do ours, and then we'll get to yours. Yes, think about it. Let it steep in your mind for just a moment, and then we'll include you as well. 866-901-ADAM. Best and worst songs to break up to next on The Adam Carolla Show.
It's another Music Monday on The Adam Carolla Show. This time around, we're talking about the best and the worst songs you could possibly hear as soon as you've been dumped. Now back to Adam, Danny, and Teresa on The Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, when we were talking about this concept on Thursday, we were trying to figure out, well, what that meant. And what it means is different things to different people.
Right. It was the first time because... You know, I have no issues with the fact that it says The Adam Carolla Show on the door. So he says, here's how it works. And you have your own free to, you know, you can decide what's good and what's bad. But this one, I said, Adam, I'm actually getting divorced. So where you think a song like maybe Feelings would be a bad one, I might think a song called Hey, She Just Got Run Over by a Bus would be a good one.
Right.
You know, it can't just be sentimental. And I wasn't ready to put up too much of a fight. We got a job to do, and there's a guy in the captain's chair. But, yeah, it means something different to everyone.
And sometimes the same people, because there are times when I've been dumped on or feeling blue, and I want to hear a very melancholy song, and then an hour later I want to hear something angry and vengeful.
Right.
So we have both.
Mostly I want to hear another chick going, God, you're good. That's what I want to hear.
But they're also the songs that don't fall into either one of those two categories, which is the worst to hear.
Yes.
Right. There's that.
Which is followed by, God, you're good. Okay, that was $50.
Let's start off with my first in the good department. This is Linda Ronstadt.
Wow.
Washes clean. It's the saddest song ever. Love's wounds unseen.
That's what someone told. Yeah, you gotta remember, this is actually happening to me, you bastard.
I didn't realize
that.
Here's the part that makes you want to break down into a heap. And I think I'm gonna love you for a long, long time.
Don't cry! It just makes you think of those little things like, God, if I just hadn't boned her sister. You know? The little thing if you can only take them back.
It's always the little things, Danny.
Right.
It was her little sister.
If I just put the cat back on the toothpaste and not slept with her sister.
Dude, just the cat thing almost made me kill her once. I hate that. But sleeping with her sister, I think, is optimal.
All the songs aren't like this, are they, peeps?
No, oh, Jack. No, don't worry.
Don't worry.
This is 70. We'll get into the 60s and 40s as we go on. Yeah, this song basically says, we're over, but I'm just going to love you for a long, long time.
Pressing.
You want to kill yourself, Dee?
Why do you sound happy? You know I'm only going to do that during sweeps.
Just save it for the air. All right. Now, that's an example of a very melancholy, sad song where you're having your quiet moments. But then you have those moments where you want to just lash out and punch anything that's near you. Let's listen to one from Elvis Costello.
Ah. Wow.
Little known from Elvis Costello. Where is it? 1977.
Mm. So everybody says about Elvis Costello right now. Where the hell is he?
What's going on, Brian? Not there?
What's so funny about peace, love, and understanding?
It wasn't that song. Well, it's all right. Mike will go find the Elvis Costello song. It's fine. We'll move ahead to the song. Now, this is just a very pedestrian but plain example of the kind of song you don't want to hear. You want to go rageful, you want to go melancholy, but you don't want to hear this after you've just been dumped. Told you we'd go to the 60s, Jack. Number one, this chart, this song charted in 1967.
So happy together.
The Turtles. By the way, when one of the guys in the band, because there's that point where you have to think of a name, comes up with the Turtles, doesn't somebody raise their hand and go, I don't want to be named after some slow-moving amphibian?
I don't know. Why don't we go dance at the Spearmint Rhino?
Ooh. Yeah, but here's the thing.
It's at least memorable.
Here's the whole thing. If you can name your bar Hitler McDookie's and then say topless women inside,
right,
and
true.
I'm heading in. Turtles don't have that.
That's true.
All right, now do we have my other bad song? My example of your more vengeful, angry song, Elvis Costello. Just tell me if you know this song.
Is the bar frame where I'm left here to listen.
Angry.
Hey, you call him his name. I hear the stutter of ignition.
I like this.
Okay, I hear you whispering as I crept by your door. So your pants met a joker who could freeze you. My, I'm not angry. I'm not angry anymore. I'm not angry.
Somehow I thought this would be funnier.
Yeah, he's watching her upstairs with her new boyfriend.
I know where, but I don't care because there's no such thing as an original sin.
I just like that there's one guy in the background and his job is to go, angry.
I'll tell you, when you break up the littlest things, I flipped out at Gretchen last night. She ran into a friend of mine and he said, how's everything going? And Gretchen said this to him. Maybe Adam will get this as a guy. Why, this was so bad.
Mm-hmm.
She said, well, I'm fine, but Danny's taking it a little hard.
Oh.
What? And she doesn't even, she claims she doesn't know that was an a-hole move.
Yes, condescending.
Well, yesterday was passive-aggressive day. I don't know if you got a card.
Yeah, well, no, but I got something, and I feel a little bit better about it.
All right. Really?
I'm not angry anymore.
Your junk's not angry anymore?
All I'm saying is I've been asked to stay after school.
Elvis Costello, everyone.
This is good. I will put this on my breakup mixed CD.
Mm-hmm. Just call it your CD. Faster.
Well, I have 1 through 8.
We will now go to an example of one that doesn't fall into either one of these categories. Doesn't make you vengeful, doesn't make you melancholy, just makes you sadder and more confused.
Oh, no.
Weird Al.
Oh. Right. My Sharona?
Well,
I almost bought a house from Sharona.
Sort of like it.
She sells real estate now.
My little hungry one. Hungry one. Open up a package of my bologna. I think the toast is done. Toast is done. Top it with a little of my bologna.
I would be driving into a Post right now.
He used to record in a bathroom with his accordion.
Where else would you go in it?
I don't know where else would you record my bologna. All right, never charted. 1979, everybody. But one that never charted but charted in my heart from 1962. Another confusing song that you just don't want to hear after somebody dumps you.
Have a holly jolly Christmas.
Oh, dumped on Christmas.
See, don't care. I'm good. The other ones were killing me. I'm actually not happy about this little boy.
Have a holly jolly Christmas.
And when you hope you friggin' die. Oh, I'm sorry.
Say hello to friends and know.
I'll stick this in your eye.
All right, another confusing song, my number six effort.
Yeah, right, David, he knew it. Ho, ho. That should have been the whole song right there.
From 1983, made it into the top 20, everybody.
Yeah. When me and my friends go out in the town, we can't sit still, we can't sit down. We don't like to fight and we don't like to scuffle, but we dance all night doing the curly shuffle. Hey, Mo, hey, Mo.
Actually, I might start feeling better, actually.
Yeah, it's a little bit upbeat, inspiring.
All right. This song was a top 20 song. I'll tell you who's going to be sad. Elvis Costello, if he's listening, knowing that his song never charted. And this song made it to 15.
Who's sadder, Jack Silver or Elvis Costello?
Hey, Mo!
All right.
We get up and dance and do the curly shuffle.
All right, we need to shuffle off and take a break. I have my number one in the good and in the bad department. Also a bonus song, as per usual. Danny and T both have theirs lined up. This is... best, worst breakup songs.
I think one of mine will make Danny cry.
Oh, that'll be good.
That will be good.
I'll keep my fingers crossed.
So people.
We'll take a quick break. We'll hear those and yours next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. It's another round of breakup songs on Music Monday. Call 866-901-ADAM. Now back to Adam, Danny, and Teresa on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, the song you want to hear, not that you want anything after you get dumped, because I just don't know what's worse than that. I really don't. I think as you get older, you can handle it a little better. Danny, I don't know. I mean, people have asked me, how's Bonaducci taking the divorce? And I said, I think he's taking it pretty well, all things considered. Something happens. I don't know if your skin gets a little thicker or you just get more experience or whatever it is, but the more time you have on the planet, the better you are with this stuff. I think when it happens when you're 19, it's devastating. Maybe it's the hormones that are raging mixed with your inexperience in life, mixed with not really being able to get any perspective.
Can I tell you what I think? Because... as I have said from the very beginning, if you read my book, it's dedicated to Gretchen. It says, "Dear Gretchen, I'm nothing without you." And the very last words of the book, and they fought me because it was a comedy. It was a funny book. But the last words of the book were, "Who are you really inside?" And I wrote down, "I'm Gretchen's husband, and that's all I'll ever be." That's the end of my book. And the whole book was funny. And the publisher said, "You can't end with that." And I said, "That's who I am. I'm Gretchen's husband." And I thought I would die the sec if she ever left me. I really, truly thought I would die. And then something changed. MySpace. I have a brand new role in life. If you think I'm taking this well, do you know I have a brand
uplifting
new role?
Uplifting and creepy.
I went to. And Shiloh, if a beautiful girl wants to write me and say, "Hey, meet me later," we'll do it. I went to the store the other day and bought $160 worth of protein drinks because everybody wants to meet for food. and I don't eat this much, and I'll get fat. It's like one girl say, hey, meet me after the show for breakfast. Another right. girl say, hey, meet me for lunch. Another girl say, why don't we go out to dinner?
How it's many like, of these girls are you meeting in a day?
Well, Gretchen's lawyer is listening, so none, and I never. But if, in fact, I wasn't just making this up.
Of course, this is all totally, a fabrication.
If I wasn't heartbroken and locked in that little basement of an apartment right. crying all night long, I'd probably know intimately. I would have to guess six.
Yeah.
Here's two of them on a Saturday.
Here's the thing. I've always...
God bless you, MySpace.
Hey, wait a minute. That's Teresa's People Sabbath.
Exactly.
I went to church on Sunday. I right. met a hot chick.
You know, it's a good deed to have sex on Shabbat.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, it's considered a mitzvah.
Good times. Who is this Shabbat guy? I'll have sex on him.
Sex on him right now.
Put the hole in the sheet and let me sex down Shabbat.
I'll even stay in the Shabbat spot.
Well... It dawned on me that you getting broken up with is half heartbreak and then half how your life is going. So it's half sure. what the other person brought up. And when you're driving a horrible mini pickup truck right. and you're living in a crappy apartment in North Hollywood and you're making $7 an hour for crawling under buildings, it is devastating. Mm-hmm. It is devastating. And when you're on a successful morning show and you're traveling and you got MySpace mm-hmm. and you got tons yeah. of friends.
By the way, I'm coming to San Diego and Phoenix soon, so be waiting.
There you go.
Not he's, so bad.
And he's actually just sending his penis ahead.
Yeah.
So it can mark its territory.
If I can add this in all earnestness, there is a third spot for me that I was unaware of. Gretchen, I cheated on her, as you know, 5 years ago.
Right.
Well, it turns out she thought once I got sober, now I've been sober a year, that we'd be able to repair the damage of the past. And what happened is we couldn't. So, I mean, literally, she just casually said, you know, I'm not in love with you. I still love you. You're my best friend. And we are. She's still handling the bills, my schedule. I live in a big, nice section of the house. Everything is, in fact, great. But here is something that surprised me. People didn't believe it. Teresa knows about this. I got followed by the paparazzi so they could either find me drinking, boozing, or cheating. They don't believe we just broke up.
Just to break up.
Because I was saying, I said when I found out, when somebody called me, they called me and said, we have these pictures. I said, I'm not on that list where you follow me. That's Ben and Jay. What's the point? Then I realized... They don't believe. They think there's a dead body in my trunk and they're looking for it.
Yeah, and it's as we discussed, when you break up just because you break up, not because you started with the booze again.
And your name's Bonaducci.
There's nothing to quit as far as Gretchen goes, so we know this is for real. All right, Music Monday. First, Jack Silver.
I'm not happy about it, though. I came back there. I do. I am still, in fact, all joking aside, still in love with my wife. There's just no reason not to have sex with as many strangers as possible.
Your groin is elated, but you're not happy.
Yeah. Right, exactly. My heart is broken, but my penis is fascinated.
Right, the Elizabeth Kubler-Ross stages of grief, you know, shock, denial, numbness, pain, screwing everyone from MySpace.
You're in so the wrong order.
All right, we have Jack Silver.
Peeps,
yeah,
you are still way off the demo.
Okay,
decades.
Sorry. All right, all
this
right.
is now. Here's a bad breakup song.
The Friends theme.
Yeah.
Hold on, I gotta clap.
No one told you that was gonna be this way.
This is amazing.
I punched myself in the groin trying to do that.
It reminds me of Date Night with Leo.
What's going on with you and Leo? You guys are great friends.
I had to kick him out again.
Why?
Jack Mann was doing Leo's laundry and going through Leo's pockets. And I found someone else's roofies.
Oh, no.
I told him last time that it would be the last time, and it's never the last time.
Well, you're standing up for yourself, Jack. That's an important thing.
Let's just keep clapping.
It's got to be tough on.
Oh, that worked out pretty good, dude.
So, Jack, there'll be no more duos of you two singing Dead or Alive during the Jovi parties.
Oh, that'll definitely still happen.
Okay.
Go on.
For the kids. You're thinking of the kids.
Listen, the peeps won with the peeps won.
All right. T.
Yes.
Let's start with you. The song, either melancholy or angry, but what you would like to be playing when you get into your car after you've been dumped, or the song that would make you confused and... I want to keep wanting to say angry or sad or whatever, but just the wrong song for this occasion.
Well, first, the right song. I believe this is the best breakup song ever written. It's angry. Yeah. It's vengeful. Yeah. It's got rage, insecurity, piercing vocals, revenge.
Yeah, and it became... It's one of these things where, because it became very popular, people sort of forgot how good it was.
Yep. This is a great song, and it holds up.
Yeah, it is.
I know the version of me.
Did a lot for theater attendance.
Yeah.
Wow, hold on. What? I wasn't paying attention.
She starts out trying to be nice, Alanis, right, before it goes south. This is a good line.
Popular, some might even say obvious, but a great song.
Don't cry!
It's on the nose, but I had to use it because it's...
I always go obvious. I'm with you. I think when they're right to the point, that's, you know, right, they can't be better.
Now, do you want my bad song?
Speaking on the nose. Yes, T.
Okay.
What's in the next?
Now, here's the thing. A good song can be angry or cathartic or sad or melancholy. A bad song, for me, can't just be upbeat. It has to be completely mood incongruous, meaning it has to be frothy and soulless.
Okay.
And that's why I chose...
frosty? Was that Freudian?
Frothy and soulless.
The little after 12.
Cool.
Make breakfast for myself. Leave the work for someone else. People say, they see that it's just a face. They tell me to act my age. Well, I am. On this
like Hilary Duff or somebody?
It's this girl named Hoku, who's kind of a pop star in that vein, but oddly enough, it's Don Ho's daughter.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, he's gone, but his legend lives on.
Because this chick's going to be singing Tiny Bubbles in, what, 15 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
It's from Legally Blonde.
Yeah.
I think we should point out that we got this off Brian's iPod.
Oh!
I make no apologies. The great song.
Admit it's totally soulless.
And also, Brian, eventually you're going to have to apologize because almost every sentence starts with "I make no apologies," and then whatever the next thing you say, eventually you have to say you're sorry for your horrible lifestyle. All right, Danny.
Good
choice, T. Two very strong choices. Danny, what do you got?
Well, obviously, you know I was conflicted 1,000 different ways with what's good and what's bad. It's the first time I've ever put up a struggle about what I thought this moment was supposed to be. Because, you know, it's you have your idea and you try and do it. So I went with what I went with because I just had to narrow the field. So let's start with my good breakup song is very easy and to the point.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just getting the finger from Brian.
Little Tom Petty.
Mm-hmm.
Because
it's got two things going for
you. You better watch what you do.
Yeah.
You want me to translate when I get to one
show
point?
Yeah.
That's the last part. And then I'll translate. The next line that I would translate is, "You got lucky, babe." So it says, "You better watch your step." That means exactly what it says.
Yes.
And fortunately, she's well aware. And then, "You got lucky" is when she said to that friend yesterday, "Well, I'm fine, but Danny's taking it a little hard," which we all agree is a nasty thing to do, because she's pretending she doesn't know that was nasty. Like, "I don't know what you're upset about. Why do you care? You are taking it hard, and I'm not. Why do you care that I told him?"
You want to think the other person is also hurting.
Of course. It was a mean thing for her to do.
Yes.
So, with what it says, "You got lucky when you found me," it just reminds me, it should say, "You're a waitress."
Mm-hmm.
"You're a waitress." And then you're going to be a waitress again soon.
Was Gretchen a waitress?
Yeah. At a comedy club. Actually, when I met her, she had no job. Now she has $4 million.
And there's a actually a nice twist here, because I think he says, when I found you.
Yeah.
I love those songs. All right, so give us the one that you absolutely don't want to hear.
I know. I did not know this song well. A lot of people, I had a specific song. Line. So many people recommended it. I listened to it. Oh, my God. You ready for the bad one?
Yes.
This is, you ready? Sean Coleman, Get Out of This House.
Get out of this house. It's a house of your making. It's a house of your will.
I actually say that.
Get out of this house.
I say, I thought this house up.
Go listen to Buddha.
I didn't know this song. Oh, maybe I did. Is this the acoustic version of it, or is there?
I've actually seen her play a few times, so it's just great abs.
Get out of this house.
I've heard this song, too.
Luckily, you know, I'm kidding around a lot on the radio. She's being a great sport. This could have been a big hassle with that house.
Right.
She's being cool with the thought of being thrown out of your own home. You know, that's what I thought that place. I invented that place by saying good sentences.
Right.
And that broke my heart. And then she said, no, you can stay.
I have my good and my bad as well.
That was my bad. Get out of this house. But she's been a good kid.
I'll give you my bonus, and then we'll take a break. We'll hear Danny and T's number one, number two, and yours as well. Here's my bonus, bad.
The New Zoo Review.
Coming right at you.
We're three delightful
animals. Have fun with what they do. Who are they?
We learn with our friend.
They have fun learning what we don't know.
All right. I don't know why, but I think I was walking my dog Molly, and I thought I've never even thought about the New Zoo Review in the last 20 years, but if I heard the New Zoo Review after I just got dumped, my head would explode.
Y'all have earned your pay right now.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be back. Best and worst breakups. Yours, ours, and everyone else's next on the Adam Carolla Show.
A bad guest are calling. I bet they've got nothing to say. Mike August booked another phoner. Brings a
people's suggestions on the good and the bad and the breakups. I think we'll hear those in a second. First, we'll get to T's number one.
Yes, this is my personal breakup song. I had a breakup when I was 23, and conservatively, I listened to the song 250 times. I would just go to work, come home, drink a bottle of red wine, and listen to this song over and over on repeat. It's a very pure expression of grief. It's Stevie Wonder.
I know this Stevie Wonder song.
It's very obscure. I first heard it in that movie Poetic Justice with Janet Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
She said she can't listen to it without crying.
I just, when he gets to the part that says, I'll never see you again, I always laugh. But I never saw her in the first place.
Cats, a lean cuisine,
at this
a
point,
bottle of red.
At this point, I didn't have any cats. I was only 23, but I did get the most painful of all breakup speeches, which is, I love you, but I'm not in love with you.
That's what I got. That's what I just got.
Ooh.
After 17 years, we didn't have cats. We had kids. Yeah, I'm just not in love with you.
And the sad thing is, I'm pretty sure I still love him.
That is sad. because she can get in a very long line of people who don't love me anymore, I've become quite comfortable with that.
Mm-hmm. Now, is this Dunkelman or the
roofer?
This
is a guy, he was a physicist. I lived with him in San Francisco for 2 years before I moved here. Yeah.
Physicists don't dump, they get dumped.
Oh, I got dumped by a physicist. Hey, a nerd.
You got dumped by someone that works with Adams. That's funny.
Well, you know what, Adam? I was dating up, as you've suggested not doing.
Wait a minute. You're at the top of the dating pyramid.
She doesn't get... I want to punch her in the head. When we do those TV guide shows together for that 2 weeks, everything she did, she would then say how bad she sucked at it. Everything.
I'm insecure, but this guy really was... he was a rocket scientist.
Don't try!
He was getting a PhD from Yale at the time. I mean, from Stanford at the time. He'd already gone to Yale. Mm-hmm. Spoke several languages, was a good athlete, was very good looking. Mm-hmm. From a good family.
Now I'm falling in love with this chef.
Is
he still single?
Well, here's the thing. He said he needed some space, and 4 months later, he had a girlfriend. They're still together.
He's a physicist. Of course he needed space, but it couldn't work.
And you know what? He's in our listening area, and I really thought about just not telling this story because it's humiliating.
Well, did he use this line? This is my favorite. It's not you. It's me. I don't like you. I thought of that line. I don't know when, but I've always wanted. I want to get divorced just so I can use that line on my wife.
Yeah, I hate to give my wife credit for being really clever when this is happening, but she said, "Oh, you know, it's not you, it's not me, it's her." Shoot, I'm sorry about
that. How about a bad breakup song?
Yes, give us one you just don't want
to
hear.
Stevie Wonder I had to listen to over and over because I could cathart, I could get my tears out, my red wine in. This song is, do you know Mickey Katz? He's a Borscht Belt comedian. He does the klezmer. We did the klezmer music when he was alive.
Hold on. Jack Silver is just in that move where he slaps the siren on top of the car like they were doing Starsky and Hutch. Pulls an e-brake, does a 180 on Will's shirt, drops it into low, and lights up the tires. He was going to go by Starbucks before he came in. Now he's flying over here.
This is some klezmer music by Mickey Katz, father of Joel Grey, grandfather of Jennifer Grey. It's from a little album called Celebrations and Simchas. And guess what it's played?
Let's see. Bar mitzvahs, funerals, a bris. Jesus, what else do Jews do? Oh, marriage, sorry.
That's why you don't want to hear it.
Is it legal for them to marry now?
Yeah. Huh. I mean, only each other.
And then they break glass, which I think is a good omen right there. This Let's start smashing the glasses now.
They put the bride in the chair and they foist her up. You seen that? That's to this song.
It's occurred to me to put my bride in the chair.
Last piece of heavy lifting a Jew will ever do.
They usually do look very strained during this.
No. All right. That is a horrible song. Danny.
Yes, sir.
Here we go. Number one in the good department.
On the nose, in my world, in my personal feelings of these days, you couldn't go wrong with this. Guns N' Roses, used to love her, but I had to kill her.
I used to love her, but I had to kill her.
That is,
and the funny thing is, I'm not even mad.
The point.
You know, I just because I've been good for a year and everything, and didn't do anything and there was no fight, I still realize I caused this. But I've said this to her face, so she'll know this part is real. She knows what's a joke and what's not from home. I prefer she was dead than leaving me. If I had a choice of her like being having a heart attack right now, and I'd come home and find the body and go, oh my God, poor Gretchen. Then really? Have her go on and have a life and a family and maybe a stepkid to my family.
Would you feel that way, Adam?
I'd much rather she got hit by a bus.
Wish Gretchen was
hit by a bus.
If you had a choice, your wife leaving you and being happy with somebody else or no longer existing.
I'm dying a quick and painless death. Or vanishing, being beamed up by Scotty.
Or is there a never being born part?
A never being born part would work, too.
Sure.
No,
you don't have to wish violence.
No, I don't think I'd have that. No.
Really?
No.
Yeah, I want someone to be
the
happy.
Idea, I'm a jealous guy. And the idea of her dating and remarrying, I just, I just think it's going to be a very brave and tall man.
I don't have the vengeance part. I have the crawl into the fetal position and ask T to pass the bottle of Jameson's, but I don't have the go out and I don't have the vengeance part.
See, I thought I had that part. It turned out I have the other chick part. And then as for the night, when it gets nighttime and I'm there by myself in the house, because we have a rule, nobody of the opposite sex in the house ever.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's the rule. So even if you're out and you're just in female company, I'm not really doing anything, but I do hang out with a lot of girls and it makes me feel better. Mm-hmm. But when you put your head down on the pillow at night, you still go, oh my God, I'm in love with a woman who's only one floor up.
Right.
You know, this is my
house.
How long
can you guys cohabitate?
Actually, if you want the answer to that question, the truth is, the house is very expensive. We put our life savings as a down payment. Mm-hmm. It's like a $4 million house, maybe even close to five, and we only have a $600,000 loan.
Oh.
Well, so it's a fixer-upper.
It's
we bought
good,
it for
right.
a lot less than that.
Right. So, but you'll be moving out.
No.
You'll not be moving out.
I'll be moving out when the house sells, and we will split the money in both buy homes. It's
got
a
it.
Huge house.
Oh, so
I live
no,
in a separate apartment completely.
So you two will be living together until the house
for,
sells.
My guess would be at least a year.
Isn't it time for you to do some sort of wacky sitcom-y stunt
yes.
where you pretend the house is haunted so she leaves?
Right.
Or you put that stripe down the middle of it and you say, you get on this side and I get on that side of the house.
You want to shut up, man?
Oh, sorry. I guess there is something in the works.
What about your bad breakup song,
yes,
Danny?
Yes, bad.
By the way, I cannot tell you how many, for some reason, did you see it was the second lead news story on CNN?
Yes.
My divorce. The second, like, who cares? And because of that, it got to be like, people started to doubt the veracity of this. And
right.
These reporters came up and said, is this a stunt?
Right.
And I said, what kind of stunt? I'm begging my wife not to leave me on national TV. Yeah, it's called the I'm a Bitch Punk stunt.
Right.
You know, I was like, what stunt could this possibly be? But anyway, people doubted it. So, all right. Now you want my last bad song?
And and by the way, I would say stunt. How dare you, sir? And by the way, good day. I'm running late. I have to beat up Bobby Brady.
Actually,
Robert.
I don't know if they ran that, if anybody saw it or not. I don't know what part they ran, but it got worse than that.
Mm.
I said, you're in my house on the worst day of my life. Like, you mind your manners. And I used the F word right there.
Mm.
And he said, well, I just want to ask this question. And he got rude again. And then he said, I said something about what I would do to him. And he said, you'll go to prison. For friends, and then he said, and he's an African American, and he said, and you'll end up some big black guy's bitch. And I said, oh, only big black guys in prison? I think Don Imus is on the phone for you.
Mm.
So, like, that'd be cool because I'd get the raw tape and he'd get fired.
Right.
He can't say that kind of stuff. So he got into this whole thing, and I said, buddy, you want a shot at the title right now? Just get up. Just stand up and take your shot then. And I don't know what they aired, so if you happen to see that episode, please call and let me know what how far it went. I think it was either Inside Edition or Access Hollywood.
Well, hopefully it'll show up on YouTube at least.
Yeah. Anyway, so my last, and then Gretchen was sitting right next to me the whole time, and she's just going, he's taking this a little hard. Okay. So
call
my
stunt that rhymes with stunt.
Yeah. So the problem is, I'm like you. I'm still in love with her. At the end of this game and talking tough, I'm still in love with my wife. And some other chicks.
Okay, time has passed.
This is a very, very bad song. It's from Jimmy Eat World, Your House. This just kills me.
Jimmy Eat World.
I went deep on this one for you.
Stevie Wonder was
going to
do you in, but it's this.
No. Well, not going to suck. I'll be fine.
What's the name of the song?
This is called Your House.
Your House.
Oh, dude.
I don't know that song. I'm trying to think. I think I only know that one Jimmy. This song, right? Yeah. This is a song that the chicks hear in their head when I walk into the bar in slow motion.
Right.
Yeah, I've already discussed that. All right, I'll give you...
When I come in, they hear, ooh, my drunk with money.
I'll give you my number one in the
in the good department. Little band, I don't know if you guys heard of them, called Led Zeppelin. Mm-hmm. Yes, that one. Also, we have your entries as well. This and Stairway to Heaven and only two Zeppelin songs. This is Your Time Is Gonna Come. I love Zeppelin because they complained that the chick walked out and was playing around and drinking my booze.
How dare you?
Really?
Yeah, but I'd feel better if she did that. Like, if I came home and she drank the last sip of booze.
I know.
The most I've ever hated Gretchen in my whole life. She smoked the last cigarette once. I couldn't believe it. Nobody would do that to me.
I spent my entire adult life trying to convince women to drink my booze.
I just drank the scotch you gave me last night.
That's why the wine cooler was invented.
How dare you?
It tastes like strawberries. Drink it.
Drink up, baby.
Yeah. Feel real good.
All right, your time is going to come, and now the song that's bad for every occasion that you never need to hear ever, but yet it seems to be ubiquitous out. You just broke up, you get in your car, you turn the ignition on, and this is what you hear. Do you have a more obnoxious version of this that you're about to play, Brian, please? This is. Thank you.
You would love my neighborhood because it's quinceanera time every Sunday.
Ozzy threw his quinceanera at my house.
Really?
Yes. First 13-year-old daughter.
I went to my brother's wedding in Oaxaca, Mexico, which is like a real working class town. It's like in the middle of the state. It's hot. There's not much there. And they played this music and then stole the silverware. And that's like a custom.
Wait.
It's like, okay, you just watch them.
You turn, is it your 13?
Or is it set? What is 16? 16. 15?
15 or 16?
15.
Quinceanera, I mean, it's 15.
Yeah, it's got to be 15.
Yeah, of course.
We are gringos.
Sorry, Brian. Here's the thing. Information has easy access to your brain because there's no hair to block it. We all have full heads of healthy hair that stop the information from getting in.
The extensions don't
help. Yes, I have an information shield. It's
you
brown.
Shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
You know what, Brian? I think you're actually winning this.
Let me.
What he's saying is he has hair and he's stupid because it blocks it out.
That's right.
You're bald and smart. You're doing fine. Just don't open your mouth and wreck it.
Yes, you're a big sea sponge with glasses.
Yeah.
Dig this. Jews become, they have their bat mitzvah at 13.
Yeah.
That's when the young girl becomes a man. A young man, as I understand
it. Girls have it at 12. And
I didn't know that.
12. Even worse. All right.
Mature.
So everyone, as a Jew, you are a woman at 12,
yes.
Even though most of you are a few years away from having sex. In the Mexican culture, it's 15.
Right.
They should swap it around.
You think?
Well, do the math on that one. A lot of these chicks are showing up with their kids to the quinceanera.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
There is no racial bigotry here.
15, in many parts of Mexico, 15, you're married. Whereas,
yeah, it's true. Yeah. You get away from like the resort parts of town. Mexico's still very third worldish in a lot of places.
When does, I would like to do the pregnancy. I'd like to see some pregnancy stats on your average Jewish girl and your average Hispanic girl in terms of age, you're pregnant. And age, you're married.
But age, but pregnant and unmarried, I'd bet the Jews more than the Mexican girls in Mexico.
Right.
Maybe. Yeah.
No,
maybe.
You're onto something.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe.
I don't care about getting married at all.
Yeah,
I'll have a kid
still be
before
so
I get married.
Chastised
in
Mexico.
29.
Exactly. Thank you for being generous.
Although now.
Inaccurate.
Must have met you on your birthday because it's almost a year you've been 29 now.
And it's going to be another.
All right, we'll take a quick break. Well, before we go, let me hear a couple of your things because we're going to do the news next. Chris?
Yeah.
You have your breakup song?
Yeah, it's Queen, Somebody to Love.
Mm-hmm. Good choice.
Nice, good choice.
Yeah. That's where you just want to hang your head out of the sunroof and shout to the heavens.
But a little uplifting.
Yeah.
All right, good song.
Nice
Let's
choice.
Talk to Ian. Ian?
Yeah, I'd say Goodbye, My Lover by James Blunt.
Mm.
I've been addicted to you.
Only if you were in love with another guy.
Lover, you have been the one.
Who took it in the end?
You have been the one for me. Goodbye, my lover. Goodbye, my friend.
Don't ever leave.
You have been the one.
Even though your name is Steve. Sorry.
I'm angry at James Blunt because he's with that supermodel.
Dude.
His boyfriend got swept out to sea.
Plus, everybody gets to say to him, "Don't you know, I don't mean to be blunt and think they're funny."
Oh, geez, I wasn't being clever when I said that then.
Sorry.
He has that whatever song. Let's see, you want to talk to, let's go to line 8, do our last one.
Yeah, I like this one.
Cody?
Yeah, what's up?
What do you got for us?
I've got Hey Joe by Jimi Hendrix.
Yay, I tried to pick that.
Yeah.
Because he's in a murderous state, right?
Dude.
He caught his woman messing around with another man.
And he's going to go shoot her dead. Where are you going with that shotgun in your hand?
Where you going with that gun in your
hand? I'm going to go shoot my woman down.
Hey, Joe. I said, where you going with that gun in your hand?
Oh. Here's where we get to the good part.
Yeah.
I'm going down to shoot my lady. You know I caught her messing around with another man.
Yeah. Good entry, Cody.
No problem.
From Fresno. Did I see you in Fresno?
No, actually, I didn't make it up there. I was actually in Sacramento for my spring break. I did talk to you a while ago. I suggested It's Raining Men. I was the LD junior college student that I got disconnected with. Yeah.
All right.
I love that song. It's Raining Men. Hallelujah. Oh, sorry.
Hey, Cody.
Yeah.
Should we keep our string going of being disconnected with each other by me hanging up on you mid-sentence?
No.
Let's try.
Yeah, let's try. Let's try. Come on. We got a streak to keep alive. What do you like most about Teresa Strasser?
She's pretty.
Oh, damn. She's going to say pretty stupid.
I didn't see it coming. I thought you were just changing streams.
All right, T, what's coming up in the news, baby doll?
Well, can you be accused of a sexual assault and charged if you have a very, very small penis?
Interesting.
Philosophical question.
Well,
it's been answered.
I hate to tell you, but
it's like
yes.
If a penis falls in the forest.
Right.
We'll take a quick break. We'll answer that and many other questions next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Outbook August in April.
I laugh at your puny contest.
On the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, he's definitely upped his game.
Yeah, he sure has.
It's a little competition. It's good.
Good for us all.
Well, it's makes Mike August burn calories. It makes everyone here burn calories. But it's good for the consumer, you, who consume our show. T.
Yes.
Now it's time for you to shine, baby, with the news.
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter on this station right now.
Jackie Robinson broke Major League Baseball's color barrier on April 15th back in 1947 when he became the first African-American Major League Baseball player of the modern era with the Brooklyn Dodgers. And Major League Baseball celebrated the 60th anniversary of his debut yesterday. More than 200 players, managers, and coaches wore his number. And here, Robinson's former teammate Don Newcomb describes how Martin Luther King once told him that the breakthrough made by baseball players like him and Jackie made his job easier.
I'll never forget Martin Luther King sitting at my dinner table in 1968, 28 days before he died. And he said to me, "Don, you and Jackie and Roy will never know how easy you made it for me to do my job for what you men did on the baseball field."
You know what's nice? We don't have it as white people. If you're black and you're about the same age as anyone else who's black in history, you just say they were sitting at your dinner table, and no one goes, "Get the F out of here, dude." You know what I mean?
Yeah.
My dad is 75. I don't know what his contemporaries are. You know, Jimmy Carter, Gerald Ford, or whatever. If my dad said to one of his friends, you know, a young Jimmy Carter, people like, shut up. You don't know him. But if you're 65 and black, and there's another 65-year-old black guy, or a guy who you'd be a sort of contemporary of,
you believe him.
You can say, I had Harriet Tubman or Martin Luther King. You can bring up any.
I'm a George Washington Carver.
As long as, right, as long as
you. All these peanuts with him.
One more advantage to being black. You can say you hung out with Martin Luther King as long as you're about the same age as him, and nobody's ever going to yell at you, get the F out of here, which I would definitely have yelled at me.
Yeah. To any white guy, shut up, liar.
That's
well,
right.
Well, there's some breaking.
And another argument why baseball's not a sport, by the way. Everybody on the Dodgers wore 42. I don't like a sport where everyone can just wear the same number the game is played.
It should be more confusing if it was a real sport.
Yes, it doesn't work in hoops or football.
If you don't end up bleeding at some point of the game, it's not a real sport.
All right. What are the Dodgers? I should follow them.
They're
because
a baseball team.
I will laugh because they're perpetually 500. It'll be the entire year. And what are they, 4-4 now? 5-5?
This is a good question.
5-4.5? Yeah. Everyone start paying attention. Only 155 more games to go.
It'll go by. It's like your children growing up. You just won't know where the time
went. You'll blink your eyes and we'll be at 75 games. I'll be a quarter into the season.
You'll turn around. The Dodgers will be dating. Then they'll get married.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would be remiss if I didn't mention that there is breaking news right now out of Virginia. There's been a shooting at Virginia Tech, according to campus officials. It's unclear how many fatalities. There is at least one, according to reports, and some reports say there are as many as 20. It's unclear. More information will be coming, and I will keep you up to date on that.
Who is it? Is it a student? Is it a teacher?
They say it's a shooter. That's all they know now. They have one shooter in custody.
Jeez.
And they're searching now for a second shooter, according to the university's written statement. It's as many as 17 wounded, two different shootings on the Virginia Tech campus. So I'm sure we'll know more as the hours go by, but there's still chaos at Virginia Tech as we speak.
All right. Well, we'll keep you posted on that.
We will keep you posted. And in much, much lighter news, I don't know if you've heard that Prince William and his girlfriend, Kate Middleton, have broken up after 4 years. It looked as though they might get married. They were a very serious couple. But now the British tabloids are reporting that Queen Elizabeth broke them up. She told William, don't rush down the aisle. We don't want another Diana. They are very young. He's 24. Kate is 25.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But when the rumors came out that he was single, Prince was single, I'd have liked to see in his MySpace page.
Can you imagine?
Hi, I'd like to be the Duchess of anything. I mean, even I'd write them.
Oh, royal sloppy seconds.
Yep.
I'll take royal thirds.
I know. That guy, he's very handsome.
He's
royal.
He's going to be the king of England one day. That's kind of cool.
I would put him on my shoulders and go to the first bar I could find.
Well, I feel like sending Kate Middleton our breakup songs, because that's going to be hard when the prince dumps you.
I know.
Can't feel good.
And then where do you go?
She'll be okay.
Where do you go? Yeah.
You go rock star, movie star.
There you go.
All right.
Now, in Spain, here's a story I alluded to earlier. A 36-year-old man had a choice. And that choice was either admit to the world that he has a very small penis or go to prison for 30 years. This man was on trial for 3 rapes. He was being accused by his former girlfriend, her sister, and her friend. He claimed that he could not have inflicted the injuries the women claimed they suffered down below during the rapes because he was too small to have inflicted those injuries.
Interesting defense.
So now he's in an interesting position.
Called the Twinkie defense.
Right, exactly.
God,
so now he's got to go to court and show his Twinkie, and the judge went for this. The judge allowed an in-court measuring.
Oh, really?
Yes, but he, and I don't know how this happened, but he was fully engorged. And
a court fluffer.
Danny gets wood. Yeah.
The bailiff, I don't know what
And by the way, I know what the court gesture, I know what his hat looks like. What would the court fluffer hat look like? I imagine it would be a tray.
Yes. Or
with an ashtray.
Or just a Von Dutch hat. Well, fully engorged, this man's penis was 4.9 inches.
Mm, I mean, so, oh, I mean, huh?
That's still a penis. It's a small one, but that's still a penis.
He was cleared of all three rape charges, not just because of the measurement, but because the three women's stories were conflicting and contradictory. He would have gotten up to 30 years in prison, and then he would have been deported back to his home country, Nigeria.
Okay, that's a tough country to go back with. I'm surprised they let him back in.
You have a tiny penis, you can't come back here.
Now, on The Sopranos,
I knew we couldn't get on. First off, I picture him, like, his whole defense is I have a small penis. And by the way, I think about 5.5. Everyone thinks 6 is the average, but I think it's closer to 5.5. So 4.9 means you're less than an eighth of a way from 5. So you're essentially 5 inches at that point. Yes. And again, if you measure like I measure, you can get a little extra length. I measure from the center of the anus to just past the tip.
Okay.
That's my methodology for measuring.
I start at the back of my neck, straight down my spine, and around and up the front.
Again, if you go just past the tip, you can get an extra few millimeters out of it. So 4.9, all right. But the bigger he is, the more it hurts his case. Right.
Yes.
Because
they had injuries.
And so when he's attempting to engorge himself in the court, I'm sort of picturing a half-hearted attempt, much like when OJ tried to put the glove on.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a little, and then there must have been a defense attorney.
If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
The prosecuting attorney must have been going, come on. Hey, you're barely in the leather phase, dude. Let's go.
If it doesn't grow, you got to let him go. I've got a grower, not a shower.
I'm sorry.
No problem. Now, on The Sopranos last night, Tony had a very, very moving scene where he spoke to Dr. Melfi and explained that he's very hurt because Christopher did a movie which portrayed him as a bully, and perhaps Christopher doesn't love him in the way that Tony wants to be loved.
Well, I am to him is a bully.
You're hurt.
His dad, Dickie, was like my me to him.
A mentor.
Yeah, but more than that, a friend. A guy you could look up to. And the hope is that you pass that down. The respect and the love. And all I did for this kid, and he hates me so much.
I smell Emmy. Then what happened, of course, this is a spoiler alert. If you T-vote Sopranos and you don't want to know, you can change the
section
now.
That's sweet of you, because I've had that happen on boxing matches and stuff.
Yes, that's very frustrating. So, John,
here's my policy.
Yes.
You may all turn off the show and leave the show now, but you have to get someone to replace you.
Right. We need
How long is this going to take?
If you're going to stand outside of your car while we're going to do this, I need you to get someone who doesn't care and put them. I need the same amount of ears on the show.
See, I was only going to go, you're allowed to turn your radio down, not another station.
You can't go to another station. Turn it down very briefly.
I'll find out where you live.
Even for those few moments you've turned it down, I need more ears. That's right.
Constant reinforcement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, me too.
Well, Polly Walnuts had a comment after finding out that Johnny Sack passed away. There is no stage 5 cancer, as he learned. Stage 5 is death. Polly Walnuts comments.
It's a great guy, John. Sorry for your loss.
Thanks. Honestly, that was for the best.
What are you going to do? I beat cancer, but it took him out. Ride the painted pony, let the spinning wheel glide.
Little blood, sweat, and tears from Polly Walnuts.
Glide?
Yeah.
I thought it said fly.
I thought it did, too.
Or ride.
But I do.
Must go.
I think he
down.
May say a few Hang different on. Versions. We got a little way. Got to go round.
Talking about your troubles. By the river side, yeah.
Pony, let the spinning wheel spin.
So he says spin, that's not
in the chorus. I listened to the whole song this morning, and he says glide. The very last
that's
one.
That's what I'm saying. They do different versions. God damn, do I know a lot about nothing.
That's tears.
Yes.
Well, in closing, at the box office, Disturbia came in number one, making $23 million.
That was eerie.
I heard it's a good movie, although it's a horrible name.
Huh?
And it's also, it's one of those names I think whoever pitched it was in love with it.
Yes.
And it would have went, fellas, you sitting down? I got it. It's called Disturbia.
No.
Number two, Blades of Glory, still holding in there. Made 14.1 million, bringing it up to a total of 90.2 million in its third week.
Where's my red line?
Oh, I got to go to the second page for red line.
There's a Noia Mania coming up for the sequel.
Not in the top 10?
Nope, not in the top 10, but Ice Cube's movie, Are We Done Yet? Number five. Number four, Perfect Stranger. Bruce Willis and Halle Berry made $11.5 million.
It's one thing, sorry to cut you off, but it's one thing when you make some small little indie whatever for 800 grand and nobody sees it. It's another thing where you destroy $40 million worth of automobiles and have to close off long stretches of interstate, yep. And yes. You don't crack the top 10. I mean, they are destroying, well, Eddie Griffin, of course, is destroying the Ferrari Enzo, but they were destroying a Porsche, the super Porsche, the supercar Porsche, yes, Carrera, and all that. So they're just thrashing beautiful cars, and yet couldn't get anyone a theater. I will be there, though. We will be together, Redline.
Redline came in at number 11. With $4 million this weekend.
They are playing like one car.
Not cracking the top 10, but I was going to say Perfect Stranger with Bruce Willis and Halle Berry, which came in at number 4. I believe we have a review upcoming from Ozzy and Ray. So something to look forward to.
And also a nice personal story from Ray.
Oh,
the days
really?
Of yore.
I always love that. I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
Teresa Strasser with the real news. QCNN.
All right, the Ozzy review, the Ray review, and the tale out of school that Ray will tell about. I think it's an old one involving me and him in high school and some nudity and possibly a struggle. We'll do that next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. It's time to play Guess the Movie Quote with our Nicaraguan movie reviewer, Oswaldo Castillo. Can you guess which movie this famous line is from?
Pain Don't Hurt.
If you said Roadhouse...
Pain don't hurt.
You're correct! Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Sure, everyone knows Pain Don't Hurt.
One of the stupider lines in the movie.
Yeah, that and the second stupidest line is the one they built the whole movie around, or the whole ad campaign. It was like Rocky III or something when he goes, go for it.
Yeah.
The guy said, I'm going to kick your ass, and he said, go for it. Woo! All right, that is smart writing, Sly. Now, Ozzy.
Good morning.
Good morning, Ozzy. You and Ray went and saw the Bruce Willis, Halle Berry movie, Perfect Stranger.
Yes, sir.
What'd you think?
Ultimate respect.
Let's start the review first, our splashy opening.
Yeah. Oswaldo.
And Ray.
Tell us about some movies. We want to know which movies you have seen. Go ahead, Oswaldo.
And Ray.
Tell us.
The movie that Ray and I am reviewing is Perfect Stranger.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect Stranger star Halle Berry is Rowena, and Bruce Willis is Harrison Hill.
Bruce Willis?
Bruce Willis.
That movie about that drunk whale, Bruce Willis?
That's right.
I don't say drunk, I say Bruce.
All right, Bruce Willis.
Mm-hmm. Is Harrison Hill, and Giovanni Ribisi is Miles Haley.
Giovanni Ribisi.
Ribisi.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect Stranger is a suspense film over different situation of murder.
Different situation of murder.
Yep.
All righty.
You know, Ray?
I understand, Oz. Every word you say.
Ray, was this movie good?
I wish I was a perfect stranger to it.
Really?
I wish you heard it was horrible.
Yeah.
It was, oh my God.
Better or worse than Catwoman. And by the way, when do we take the Oscar away?
If
Pete Rose can't get in the Baseball Hall of Fame for making a little gambling faux pas, when do we collect the Oscar?
One more bad movie.
Okay. And the panning of with her wearing the pencil skirt and the sweaters and everything else, they tried to capitalize on that, and that fell short, too.
All right.
The big drama is the movie is when Rowena changes her identity and uses her good friend, Miles.
She's got a goat friend?
Yeah. No, the good friend. You know?
A good friend.
Yeah.
She's an investigative reporter and goes
access.
Undercover.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the internet and computer program.
Mm-hmm.
Here is a clip for the movie where Rowena especially runs into Harrison. How you click, Brian? Yeah.
Sure.
What?
You got a click and then read the paper?
Today is National Take Your Best Employee to Work Day.
Ooh. So I guess we're going to pick up Esmeralda next.
But you know what? Esmeralda rides a broom to work every day.
Now, because she's a witch or because her name is Esmeralda, which
both.
Is the witch's name on Bewitched, one of the nice witches.
The goofy one.
Yeah. Is it? It's a weird joke because it's confusing because you don't know if it's a reference to a...
It's amazing. It's all bad. All the right. whole thing.
Mm.
Go ahead, Oz.
Is the classic situation of one sheep stuck in the terrific wall?
You talking about sheep?
Sheep, yeah.
Okay, all okay. right.
Sheep, not shit.
No, whoa.
No, he said no ship.
No ship. Oh, okay. I have no idea.
I feel so sorry for our dump guy right now. He doesn't know what's happening.
I felt sorry for him before I found out he was our dump guy, and then I really felt sorry for him.
When you heard his ringtone?
When I thought he worked at Care, I felt sorry for him.
By the way, dump guy here is not only a job description, but an inevitability.
That's right. All right, Ozzy, let's steer this ship toward the port and bring it home.
Meh. I say meh. It's like a more difficult, you know?
Right.
The sweet innocent one in and being the killer.
The sweet innocent ones winds up being the killer.
Imagine trying to build a house with this man. That's all I'm saying.
What else would you do?
What's a good
I have
point?
The basic in construction, you know?
Yeah, I know.
He's a hard worker.
He attacked to one guy about the movie.
Uh-oh.
How are you, Brian? What is your favorite Helen Berry movie? In Sarwish, Monster Ball... A Perfect Stranger.
I would say Perfect Stranger.
Oh, yeah? Do you prefer Bruce Willis in Perfect Stranger, The Sixth Sense, or Die Hard with Vengeance?
I would say that I prefer him on Sixth Sense.
Perfect Stranger leaving you cold?
Surprise.
A cold. Twist. Okay, thank you so much.
Who was that, your cousin?
My uncle.
Okay.
We tell Ozzy to do a man on the street so he does a man in his living room. He talks to his uncle.
Well, he asked his uncle to go on the street.
No, it's the one guy, you know, it's the fey, you know, it's almost a Europe guy. In the end, I ask him, you know, where you from? Mexico, Guadalajara, Jalisco. You speak very good.
He was a white guy. He
yeah,
looked,
white
looked
guy.
Like he was
yeah.
European, white, but yeah. he was really from Mexico.
It's Mexico, yeah.
Okay. See?
Now, who else has got some story?
I speak fluent Ozzy.
It was a who done you know? It, who cares? It was just, you know,
bad.
Yeah, bad plot turns, twist, and just short. Horrible.
In summary, Perfect Stranger left the reviewer cold.
And Ray.
Well, Ray's here to chime in on the movies, but we decided the stories of yore were good. What story are you going to tell today, Ray?
This is a story about you, actually, and when you turn into Superman one day way back out of high school, and you were showering up, and Chris and I were over at your house.
So we were, what, 18?
What? No, we were about, I was 18, you were 17.
They put the underwear over the pants?
Mm-hmm. We're in high school.
We're in high school.
Superman reference.
And Ray, this Chris, does he have a nickname? Or do we just know him as Chris? That's not the Wheeze.
Bonus
is, it?
No. is what you might know him by. Chris is a very strong, big guy.
Well, we were both
don't
bigger
you know
and stronger
guys.
Than you.
Like, all your friends can kick ass.
I know the Wheeze, but Chris and Ray are the biggest and the strongest and both scary in their own way. Although Chris, in a way, could have even been scarier than Ray.
I find that
oh, come on, weird. How's that so?
Superman Hawaiian strength. He was had Hawaiian blood in him. And had this crazy... He's one of these guys who could put his hand on your head and start squeezing it and crush you. He did something. He was like a 215, 20-pound guy. And I once saw him hanging, Ray. Remember we'd break into the Mulholland Club? They go swimming in the swimming pool. He was hanging off at night. He was hanging off the diving board. Now, picture this. You're hanging in the water. You're 3 feet up. You're hanging off the edge of the diving. Your waist is in the water. And you pull yourself up. He would pull himself up and flop himself belly first onto the board. Now, you try it. You grab the end of the board and try to lift your feet up. Well, you can kind of get them out of the water. Right. But you can't bring them around and flop them. This is the same guy who, when I fell on my head, writes because he grabbed the casing, the little thin casing around the top of the doorway, and pulled his legs up, hanging on only by his fingers, and pushed his legs through his arms and turned himself completely around and lowered himself slowly back. And there's a 210-pound guy.
Wow.
With like claws. So him and Ray decided it'd be a good idea to drag me, who was naked, out into the street. Right after school let out.
You're naked.
And we lived next door to the school.
He'd be witnessed by a couple of hundred kids. It would have been a great thing.
3 in the afternoon.
we were going to like tie him up with a belt to the stop sign so he couldn't get away.
Yeah, now Ray's 220 pounds. Chris is 215 pounds. They're both strong as horses. And decided, well, drag me right out on the front lawn, right down the driveway, and right into the street so all the kiddies can see me.
Yeah, that's the point.
It would have been a great time.
Except for I turned into Superman.
Oh, my God.
Really?
The strength of 10 men.
I was
not. It was like one of those women whose child was pinned under the car, and she flings it off. That was ace that day.
I was naked as hell, and these guys weren't kidding. I mean, it was a serious battle.
We got him through. We got him out of the house. We got him in the driveway, that took 3 minutes.
You're naked, covered by a Hawaiian.
That's right. We corralled him. We both had our arms around him, and we were sweeping him out of the house. We figured we'd get to the street, and no such luck.
And it wasn't a feeble attempt. I mean, it was a fight.
It was
essentially going on, except for one guy, the Roman gladiator, was nude, and kids were walking down the street, and these two 450-pound combined weight were... Oh, my God. Yes, that's when I realized there's that little something you keep just in case a bear attacks you, and it came out when Ray and Chris tried to drag my naked ass down the street. All right, we need to take a quick break. Ray, nice job.
He broke through. He broke
right
through.
On,
and you know what he did? He looked at both of us in a stance and yelled, "I'll freak on you!"
Did you ever say that?
That was what he said. "I'll freak on you!" That was his battle cry for the next
freak
year.
Freak out!
It was great. Be right back after this.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, that's it. We're plumb out of time.
Oh, no, we're not.
Little bits to do first. Danny, you got something?
I do indeed. I want to tell you about this. Adam Carolla, that's that guy right there, the handsome one with the big eyebrow.
Thank you.
He is sensing two people. Yeah, sure, on your best day. He is sensing two people to the notorious Alcatraz Island for one night. Here's what you do. Go to adamcarolla.com and tell us why you should be in lockdown. Now, if you're chosen, the winner will gain their freedom and $2,500. Don't forget the condemned starving Steve Austin. 10 people, dig this, 10 people will fight, 9 people will die. Only one will survive, and you get to watch it live. The Condemned, in theaters Friday, April 27th.
All right, so go to AdamCarolla.com. I thank Allie Wentworth, Frank Vincent, and Teresa Strasser, TV Water Cooler, 8 p.m. tonight. See how beautiful she is through the majesty of television. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.
Paul T.